Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you give me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, put your little dear lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces.
Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here except for Eric, Andy, Paul, Doc's in the booth. I'm Fred. And I really thought we'd come on today talking about 8-4 and on our way to winning our last four after winning this one. But it wasn't meant to be. Or maybe it was meant to be and Patriots just didn't let it happen. Once again, shooting themselves in their own feet, collective feet, foot, whatever. And just not getting it done in the second half. I don't know what to say, people. Is this the Patriots we've known for the last few years? Definitely not.
Because hell no.
When you get a 10-point lead on a team without Ronnie Brown, with Chad Henne, you're supposed to win that game. And I don't know what's going on. I might have some answers here. We're going to talk about it. This is therapy. And we'll see what we can come up with. Do I think the season's lost? No, of course not. I mean, worse teams have gotten better and made a run in the playoffs than the Patriots. But I wrote it in my editor note in PFW this week. My confidence is being shaken. My picks, my predictions, beginning of the year, mid-year, are made with confidence based on who I thought this team was and who I think it is. And I have to say my confidence is being shaken. I'm not sure that I'm right in who I think this team is.
Fred, very rarely do I think we have similar thoughts, beliefs, and feelings as the players. But I think right now we're on the same page. I think the players are saying the exact same things we are, searching for answers. Don't know who we are as a team. We need to pull this team together. No one knows, and I'm not sure the coaches know. Generally, we think Belichick knows everything, and they know right. The three things that need fixing. I'm not sure he knows everything. I'm not sure he has enough fingers to stick in, I won't say it, but to plug up the holes.
Yeah.
I really think there's a lot, and Paul and I have talked about this off the air. I think you're right on the verge, too, in the locker room, where different aspects of the team are wondering whose fault it is, what's right. going on. I'm not saying they're quite there to pointing the finger,
right.
but they're right on the verge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is, if it weren't the Patriots, I'd expect this to snowball in the wrong direction. But the only thing keeping me from thinking that is Belichick, Brady, and history. And as you said, maybe we need to right. put history away and say these Patriots this year are nothing like the predecessors.
And, a lot of people, a lot of the emails have mentioned the word erratic. When it comes to not just the play, but the the decision-making on the sideline. And I think that if it is erratic, sometimes that comes with not really knowing your team. When you know your team, you make calls and they're consistent because you know exactly what your team can do. But, you know, I'm not sure that Bill Belichick knows these teams. You know, I think he saw some things that, you know, he was betting on from the defense that isn't coming to play. I think he, you know, knows some things about his offense that is letting him down in the decisions that he's making for them. Let's start with Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady is, you know, let's face it, he didn't have that great a game. Yeah, he had, what, 357 yards passing? But, you know, when it came to crunch time, and, you know, maybe it's not just Brady. Maybe, you know, he's got injuries, you know, the finger and then the shoulder after the first drive. Maybe the offensive line is letting him down. Certainly he doesn't have that third option and wide receiver. Whatever it is, he didn't have that great a game. What, you know, in the time that was most important.
No question. He threw an interception in the red zone.
Yeah.
And then in Tom Brady time, when you think he's going to do something
right.
miraculous, he throws a pick to a middle linebacker.
All you needed was a field goal in the fourth
right.
quarter, and you win that game.
So
that's all you needed.
Well, certainly at the end of the game,
yeah. I'm not even talking about the last drive.
Well, I'm talking about the last drive because earlier, who knows?
Right.
Miami set up for the field goal
sure.
at the end of the game. So who knows if they would have only needed one. But I couldn't agree more with you guys. I think you've hit a lot of points. And I think they're all accurate. I'm wondering about even Brady himself talking after the game about, there are times when you hit adversity. There's times when you need to be mentally tough to work through the trouble spots. And there are times that we fight. And he said, I think there are other times that we don't fight back.
Right.
Was really stunned to hear him say it. I was a big part of my game story. Kind of thought, 24 hours to think about it, maybe he would – at least do it a little bit more diplomatically. But yesterday morning on WEEI, which you heard here on Patriots.com,
right,
basically said the same thing. So you're wondering, is his ability to lead, and we all agree, he's a terrific leader on and off the field for this team. Maybe he's not getting his message through, and this is one last-ditch way to try to see if he can figure out what is ailing this team. But all of them. Welker said it. Brady said it. Andy talked to a lot of defensive players.
All said it.
The illusion of of still searching for answers on the second week of December. They're still searching for an identity.
Back
searching
to the drawing
answers,
board. Identity.
Can't put my finger on it. All those phrases are being used by several players.
Right.
Consecutive weeks.
Well, I'll tell you something. Andy talked about, they're at that edge of the finger pointing.
Andy has a good insight about that.
Here's my instincts of what Brady said, and I'll come right out and say it. He said, we only scored 21 points. That it's not enough points to win in this league.
Yeah.
Well, it sure as hell should be enough to win against the Miami Dolphins with that offense that they have. And I think that he was calling out his defense. Because, you think about what's changed, okay, as far as the leadership of the team. The leader of the offense has always been Brady.
Right.
The leadership on the defense is what has changed. And I'm sure he's used to hearing on that sideline Teddy Bruschi or Rodney Harrison or Mike Vrabel yelling and screaming at their own teammates.
Yeah.
And he's not hearing that anymore. And I think that's what he's talking about because 21 points, most of the time you should score more if you're the Patriots. But it is enough to win in this league if you have a good defense. And they're playing to their level. Well, I'm not saying that, but if they're playing well against a team with Chad Henne as the quarterback.
Especially when you get that 14-0 lead.
That's right.
On two possessions. That should be enough.
You should have their ears pinned back.
21 in a vacuum, okay. Yeah, a team could score 21 on you, but 14-0 on two possessions, that's game.
Yeah.
That's got to be game against a limited offense like that, and it wasn't.
Right.
And you know what?
It's kind of game for the offense.
You know what?
They packed it in.
But it was... And really, listen, I think Miami, the way the game unfolded, Miami was somewhat fortunate to win it.
God, yeah.
But Miami, I thought, controlled the last three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
The other team, they just weren't as good as the Patriots talent-wise, but they were playing better than the Patriots for the last three quarters. Andy just said it. The offense went in a complete slumber for three quarters. They had really one drive after that. That was the one that Brady threw the pick on. I mean, don't give me the 81-yard prayer to Sam Aiken, which is an incredible catch by Sam Aiken. That was a jump ball. He threw it up for grabs.
We spent last week talking about how they said, we'll take away the 8 plays for 300 yards against the Saints, and it wasn't as bad as it looked. Well, take away the big plays on offense against the Dolphins, and you got your asses whooped.
Right. But
you had a 58-yarder.
I don't buy the Saints argument, so I'm not buying this.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
I think that's what the Saints were giving
them. They want to express that.
I'm not going to talk.
Don't express it because
I'm not taking away.
Can't
Moss's.
Take them away either way.
Right.
See, I wouldn't. I look at them individually. I would certainly wouldn't take away Moss's 58-yard touchdown. It was a beautifully designed play, wide open, great throw, bing, 7-0. I wouldn't take away Welker's 58-yard play.
That's what they gave him. That's,
but neither should the Saints.
I wouldn't say,
they get to keep their big plays
too. That was wrong too.
We laughed about that last week. Right. But I'm talking about from the Patriots' perspective. I would somewhat take away some of the other stuff that they did that was just big play oriented, like that Aiken. Well, I don't think you can rely on that Aiken play.
But at the same time,
and
if
I think
my
you
tried to again later.
On you proved that twice later when you couldn't make that connection.
Right. Well, Brady couldn't hit him. He overthrew him. But you know, they were seeing guys breaking free deep because everybody was bunched in from Miami. They wanted to take away the short pass. So a lot of times you'd see like 3rd and 4. And Brady would just go for it. We haven't seen that a lot.
I think they got caught up in that a little bit, and I think to their detriment. And Andy and I talked about it all throughout the game. It seemed like if we couldn't get a big play in that game, we couldn't move it.
Right.
You know, and
You can credit Miami defense for that and knowing, okay, Brady's just – we're going to take our chances.
Yeah, I think we had 4 long drives in that game, you know, in terms of plays and yardage. The first one was a 6-play drive, but the 58-yard touchdown. The second one was the only one that really didn't include a big play. They went all the way down the field in chunks, like they always do, ended up scoring a touchdown. Then they went all the way down the field again later on the Welker one, the 58-yarder. That drive ended up stalling on the 4th-down play, which I'm sure we'll get into. Are we going for it too often on 4th-down? The Sammy Morris dive from the 6-yard line. And then they had the long drive at the end of the in the second half that ended with the Moss pick, the Brady pick in front of Moss. When they didn't get a big play, they really only had one drive when they didn't get a big, huge play on it. And I just think that's a dangerous way to go about playing offense. It used to be, and I think that might be part of the problem, but it used to be whatever you gave the Patriots, they were more than content to take. It didn't matter. We'll run the ball. We'll pass the ball. We'll pass it deep. We'll pass it short. You know, we'll give it, you know, you take away Moss, we'll go to Gaffney. You take away Welker, we'll go to, you know, Stallworth or whoever. That just doesn't seem like they have any answers.
Yep.
This doesn't seem like they have the answers. And that might be part of the problem. People continue to say, the Patriots. These are the Patriots. This is unpatriots. This is not what the Patriots do. This isn't the Patriots. Right. This is not 2007. But it's certainly not 2004 or 2003. It's a whole different team.
But getting back to what Brady said, I do think he was calling out the defense in a very subtle way. However, I think in this game, you know, as much as the defense allowed Miami to dictate late in the game, I think the offense stunk it up too. You know, take that play where Brady threw the interception of Moss. Okay, they happen. But the pass wasn't the right type of pass. When you've got a Moss, you throw it up high.
That was bad
and he
all
hasn't
around.
Been doing that in the end zone for Moss. And I don't know if it's just he's just not accurate this year or whatever, but put the ball up where Moss can catch it and the other guy can't. It's that simple. It was a bad pass.
It wasn't a
bad decision. It was a bad pass.
It was also a bad effort, I thought, on Moss's part.
Well,
I think everything they're doing wrong, you can point to pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
I just wrote this in SPF. Other than Vince Wilfork, who I think is having a great year.
And I'm going to get to that in a minute, too.
I'm not sure there's one player, one coach, one anybody in the organization from top to bottom that I think is doing their job well consistently. And we had the discussion upstairs. Not only is that your problem when Vince Wilfork is your best, most consistent playmaker, I think it might be an argument for letting Vince Wilfork go. Because when Vince Wilfork is playing as well as I think he can play, and your defense stinks. So why do I need to sign him to a long-term contract when I need to dedicate resources to a shutdown corner, a pass rusher, another whatever? So I think as well as he's played, he might be, in my mind, playing himself out of a job because I can't win with him.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of our emailers, you know, I don't want to take credit away from him, and I usually don't read emails this quickly in the show.
Period.
But
according to our emails.
You know, you brought up Vince Wilfork in
a lot of emails.
And
a lot of emails.
You know,
one of the things
that I was thinking is one of the reasons why Wilfork is showing up so much this year is because the defensive line isn't playing that well. Where's Mike Wright been? You know,
he's plateaued. Yeah, he had a good start to the season.
Absolutely.
But you know what we're finding out? There's a reason Mike Wright and Brandon McGowan are Mike Wright and Brandon McGowan.
No, I understand that.
If you build a defense around him, you're in trouble.
No, I understand that, but, you know.
They're complimentary.
Dave in Whitehall, Pennsylvania writes, look, anyone who knows football can easily see why our team this year stinks. It's not because Brady is off. It's not because we don't have a good running back. It's not because we don't use the tight ends. It's not because we supposedly don't have a third receiver. It's not because we don't have a good secondary. And it's not because we don't have good pass rushers. The game of football is won in the trenches. Offensive line and defensive line. Our O-line has sunshine blown up their butts every time they're mentioned. But seriously, they stink. They can never get a push when they need to. And no matter how many guys the other team rushes, Brady, he is always under pressure. The other team rushes three, they're in Brady's face. They rush four, they're in Brady's face. They rush five, they're in his face. Our problem is the O-line getting thrown to the ground no matter how many guys come after them, and our D-line not making the opposing team's quarterback and running backs break a sweat. So
I don't know.
I don't completely agree with
that. I don't completely agree. I think that's part of the problem, but I think to let all the other elements of the team off the hook because you have bad or what this guy considers bad play on the lines. I think it's not just that. I don't think this secondary has been very good the last month.
I think all the things he said not to are part of it.
Well, that's all part of it.
You know,
but
the pass
line has not got pressure.
But let's talk about that.
When did they get
when
pressure?
When has the defensive line been responsible for getting the pressure? It's always been the outside linebackers.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, occasionally Seymour.
Yep.
But for the most part, it's been the outside linebackers. They're not getting it, so now we turn the focus.
I'm not going to sit there and turn my
finger. Will Fork's fault? Ty Warren's fault?
Exactly.
I don't think Ty Warren's played well, but I don't think he was ever the guy who was counted on for your pass rush.
Yeah. They have still continued to play pretty well against the run.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I thought
I think Will Fork, beyond pretty well, I think, has made plays.
I think
Will
Fork,
he's the only guy who's making form tackles in the backfield.
To me, he's had an all-pro year.
I agree.
But that's why
my argument leads me towards I'm not sure I re-sign him because with him playing as
elsewhere.
The best in football, can I give him a raise and not spend money on outside linebacker, corner, safety?
They need some dynamic
Mike Wright.
Players.
They need playmakers.
They
the best
need
playmaker is a nose
players.
Tackle. That's not good.
But
that's a problem.
One of the things we talked about early in the year with regards to some of these players, guys like Mike Wright, was they were and I was very high on Mike Wright. I thought he played great the first month and a half.
He did.
One of the concerns that you would have is this is a guy who's always been a special teamer and a spot player, and now you're asking him to play 70, 60, 70, 80% of the snaps. What's going to happen 3 months from now? Well, I think we might be getting our answer. He hasn't really been that active. Same with a lot of other guys. I mean, I don't mean to pick on Mike Wright, but Brandon McGowan is one.
And I would say you combine it with the guys who should be elite. Adalys Thomas or Gerard Mayo or Ty Warren, guys who are paid, whose status is above that of a Mike Wright or Brandon, they're all not playing well, so that even more magnifies when a Wright,
exactly.
Maybe a Jarvis Green, a Brandon McGowan are on the field and not playing well.
But right now, it's not limited to areas of the team. It's the team.
Yep.
This football team, as Brady said, has not played 60 minutes, and that's not – it's not – offense that hasn't played 60 minutes. It's not special team. It's the whole team.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a systematic collapse. It's like we can say every game you can, and I think you're right, Fred, the offense needed to score a little more points on Sunday to put the game away. But you can always look at it either way.
Right.
You know, the Denver game when we sat there and said, well, it wasn't the defense's fault, wasn't the defense's fault. Well, yeah, the offense only scored 17 and they didn't get anything in the second half. But you know what? With 3 minutes left in the game, they had enough to win and they didn't win.
Right.
You know, same with the Super Bowl, you know, a couple years ago. This game, I mean, they were backed up at their own 3-yard line in the fourth quarter. You're still winning. They drove all the way down the field. Now, they eventually stalled on that drive. But they stalled because Devon Best dropped a pass on fourth down. Then they held them 3 and out and got the ball back again and kicked an easy field goal. That's not good defense.
But I kind of still side with the defensive players. If Brady were saying this to me, I'd be saying F you. When you play up to your level, your expectations, then tell me to play up to mine.
Yeah,
as long as you're throwing picks late in the game or in the red zone, don't point your finger at me.
Andy, we had the whole point-counterpoint on the TV show. You know where I stand. It's the offense because it's all about expectations to me. Doesn't make it right, but I don't expect the defense to go on the field and shut the door. I do expect the offense to go on the field and get the first down that shuts the door.
Right.
And they haven't been doing it on the road.
No.
Remember when Randy Moss and Wes Welker in the summer were saying, we have high expectations, we can challenge those records we set a couple of years ago. And, you know, even 2 weeks ago, Moss was saying how he had really, really high hopes and expectations for this team. They're nowhere near that on offense, on defense, on special teams. That's the only fact right now, is we all in the locker room, in the coaches' rooms, in Las Vegas, in this room right here, we all overrated this team. It's not as good as any of us expected it to be. They were the Super Bowl favorites, and they're not that good.
Yeah,
now,
I was wrong.
Now,
I was wrong.
The organization as a whole, Ron Borges had a piece, I guess yesterday, it might have been this morning, I'm not sure. I was sick yesterday, I didn't read much. But a lot of comments on it on the Herald site. They had 103 last time I looked. Basically just calling out Belichick for all the poor drafting and personnel moves, saying that the team as a whole has been on a decline since 2004. Now, when he got specific, you can't disagree with him. I mean, you know, he points out all the ones that we've been talking about the last few weeks, all, you know, over the last couple of years, the draft picks and the free agents that they brought in. I can't disagree. But to say that the organization itself has been on a decline since 2004, I mean, if they're on a decline, they're on a decline from Mount Olympus, which you can't just stay there forever. Since 2004, they've been to an AFC championship, won another one, and been to another Super Bowl. You know, again, 11-5 without the story. I think they've been as good as any other team since 2004.
I agree.
With the exception of the team that won the Super Bowl those years.
I would agree with that. So I think the larger point would be, are they as good as they were in 2004?
Well, no, because they won the Super Bowl that year.
Right.
Yeah.
No, well, no, I'm not saying. I'm saying is the talent level of the team, has it been better or worse, you know, since 2004?
I
would say it's been worse with the exception of 07. And 07, as Andy has stated many, many times, was kind of a pocket of a perfect storm that kind of happened with the Moss and Welker acquisitions.
But organizationally, I agree. I mean, aside from the Steelers, who've won the Super Bowl twice since that point, you're among the best in football. You've remained at an elite level.
And that's hard to do with
comparing yourself to the rest of the league.
Right.
I'm 1,000% behind.
Right. But
behind
comparing yourself to yourself, which
well,
is
the standard
what we do.
Is so,
but
again,
I think that's
the standard
what he's
is
doing.
Mount Olympus.
No, I know, but I'm looking beyond the winning and the losing. I'm comparing specific aspects, you know, coordinators and what you've done and where you've replaced and how you've changed
And that's
90
what Ron
spots.
Is talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we asked this year, is Belichick spread too thin? Have they not replaced enough people? Front office, coaching staff, it's all young guys and promotions and all that. Well, are we getting the answer? Is he spread too thin? They had what many people believe was a terrible offseason in terms of personnel moves outside the draft. And now in season, we're questioning everything. Offense, defense, both sides of the ball. So the evidence would lead you to believe maybe Belichick spread too thin.
The problem is they're not bad all the time. If they were bad all the time, it would be a lot easier. But they're good sometimes against good teams, and bad sometimes against bad teams. You know, so it's hard to, you know, say.
But you know what I'd argue? The reason we're seeing them be good sometimes against bad teams, I think we're getting back to Brady Moss. I mean, you have two of the most physically gifted players in the National Football League. That's enough to get you by in a lot of situations.
What's the best team they beat is 6-6, right? Baltimore and Atlanta?
They don't have a lot of quality
Jets?
Wins
no,
on
but,
the schedule.
In Miami.
No, they haven't beat
six.
Them. But you can't say that in the Colts game that they were bad the whole game.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
No, but inconsistent.
Within 60 minutes against good teams, they've shown they've been good.
Because they have some playmakers. They have
some
talent.
But, well, that's this team is on offense now.
But it's almost like.
Right.
But that's like saying, Fred, back in the day, you know, when the Patriots were at the top, that they were just dominating. I mean, Bill used to make fun of us all the time. Dominant, you know. I don't know what you're watching. And he was right.
No,
you know, with a lot of those games were down to one possession. The Patriots were winning them because they were better.
Right.
And they were making plays in crunch time. But the other team certainly could sit there and say, it wasn't like they beat us for the whole 60 minutes.
Right.
We were in it.
Well,
but the Patriots
always
won.
That's a good point. So then it comes down to what Brady, again, is talking about. We're not fighting back.
Yeah.
Okay? And that comes down to fourth quarter when the game's on the line. Who wants it more? And I guess he doesn't feel that his team does.
I'm wondering.
Nor does Brandon Merriweather. He said you have to be mentally tough to win on the road. We're not mentally tough enough right now. He called out the mental.
And I wanted to
toughness.
Get to Andy's thing because Andy talked to a lot of the secondary guys. Now, number one, there was a lot of laughing, I thought, in the locker room, which really surprised me.
After the game?
After the game, yeah. And most
was
of it
Eric
was,
in there?
Most of it was. You think he was in the shower? A lot of them were over to the secondary guys that Indy was talking to. which that really struck me surprising. And contrasting that with the morgue-like atmosphere after the Colts game and after the Saints game, it was really striking. But the thing that Andy said after the game that I found really interesting, talking to Mayo, I think, you know, the game plan called for shutting down the run. Well, they did okay at that. I mean, Ricky Williams had a nice day.
Yeah.
I think he averaged over about four and a half a carry. Mm-hmm. Ricky Williams did a nice job running, but, you know, Miami, thankfully, continued to try to establish Lex Hilliard, and he averaged about 1.2 yards a carry. They did a good job stopping the run. But since when do we talk about the aspect of the game that we succeeded
my job.
In
right,
after
right.
the game? That, to me, is a sign of pointing fingers.
Yeah.
And Andy talked about that after the game, and I really was like, wow, they were saying that? Because I was talking to Brady and Welker and all the offensive guys, so I didn't get to see any of that. I was really, really taken aback by some of the things that Andy said that, you know, guys like Will Height and Merriweather and Mayo and some of the defensive players were saying. It was almost like within the defense, not pointing the finger at the offense as much as right. within the defense, well, we did our job. We're not right. getting any pressure. They didn't say that, but that was kind of like the point.
Yeah. And I also think on some level they admitted they overlooked the Dolphins. That they expected. We expected them to bounce back against the Dolphins.
Yep.
They did too. And, you know, Bantakina had in my story said, I don't want to say we didn't take them seriously, but we didn't take them seriously enough. And Will Height said, what did they do that surprised you? They won. I mean, they were stunned that they lost.
It's almost.
There was an expectation of we're going to come here and win. And I know you have that every week, but this felt like an expectation.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, you know, they had a relatively easy time first time around with Miami down, you know, at Gillette. And
well,
you're right.
I don't think that game was easy.
Well,
it was kind of
in hand.
They were losing 17 to 16 with a minute left in the third quarter.
Yeah, but
I don't think it was easy.
I don't think it was an easy game at all.
But I don't think they were scared. They were scared of the Saints. They weren't scared of the Dolphins.
No, well, the Dolphins,
I think they've reached the point where they need to fear everybody who takes
exactly.
a snap.
Exactly. That was what I was going to say, yeah. is they need to go into every game, and I'm certainly going to do it. Every game from now on, I don't care who it is, well, it's a 50-50
it's
game.
Funny.
It's 50-50.
I didn't think they were going to win all five. Just
I
snapping
did.
The fingers like a lot of other people did. Now,
I
totally didn't think one of the losses was going to be Sunday. Otherwise, I would have picked Miami if I thought that.
Right.
So I'm not trying to be a 20-20 hindsight guy. I thought they would lose again. Now, I'm with you guys. I think you flip a coin. I think the only game that's in the satchel probably is this one, the Carolina game. And even then, you can't sit there and just dismiss anybody
right.
now.
Because all the conclusions I'm making is, you know, like I wrote, I never thought there was a chance that they would go to New York in week two against Mark Sanchez in his second game and lose that. I never thought that they'd go to Denver in Josh McDaniels' first year as a head coach and lose that game.
Yeah.
But they're doing things I never thought would happen. And in the past, I'd be right.
Because you know what we have to come to
the
realization?
That's by the way, I'm losing this year. The whole season with the picks, it's all
Tom Brady said in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's the reason.
The gap between us and the elite teams is a big one. Well, you know what the bigger problem is? The gap between you and the rest of the middling teams is very tight.
It's a small one.
You are neck and neck with all these,
right.
you know, 7-6, 6-6,
if you get beyond,
mid-level teams.
Get beyond the Kansas Cities and the Clevelands and the Tampas. And, you know, maybe Detroit. Everybody else is kind of in a group that the Patriots are closer to that group than they are the Indy,
right.
New Orleans, Minnesota group.
Right. They're losing to teams that are in that group.
But that's my point earlier. We all overrated them because coming into the year, everybody thought they were the favorite to go to the Super Bowl, to the AFC, and maybe win it, including Vegas, people that, you know, actually put money on it.
Yep.
And tell me what this team has lost. You know, tell me this huge litany of
right.
IR guys that say, okay, that's why they're not as good.
Well,
they don't have any significant players.
They have the
IR.
Team we expected them to have, and they stink.
When we played Denver,
well,
they were
stink,
what, 5-0? Denver were 5-0 when we played Denver?
Denver was 4-0.
4-0, okay. They beat us. They went to 5-0. They got to 6-0, and then something happened, and
they
started
lost four
losing.
In a row.
Right. We should have been that team that started that losing streak for them.
No, the team we expected this team to be should have been.
Right.
The team it is shouldn't have
right.
been.
Right, but that's
because this team was neck and neck
you know
with the team
saying.
On the road.
Denver has become a team now that I would say they're in that group with
right.
the Patriots. They're just mm-hmm. as good as the Patriots. Now, I think if the Patriots play them in Foxborough, I would pick
the
Patriots
Denver's
to win.
I think Denver's defense is better than the Patriots.
I would pick the Patriots to win in Foxborough against Denver. If they play in Denver tomorrow, I'd pick Denver.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have any faith on this team beating a team of similar talent on the road right now. I think the two road games, Andy talked about this upstairs too, Houston and Buffalo, I don't care what those records say, 4-8, 5-7, those teams can play with the Patriots at home.
Yeah.
And I would put Jacksonville right now, even though the game is here in Foxborough, was a game that I can't just pencil that one in.
And what happens if you go to Buffalo and it's windy like it was last year, and all of a sudden you're in a true dogfight? You can't use your 58-yard touchdowns.
You can't just throw the ball up for grabs?
You might be in trouble.
And a gale-force wind? Who knows?
You know,
NFL Network might have a pass go backwards if that's the case.
On NFL Network right now, they're talking about the AFC East, and they just had a highlight reel of Brady's throws. I mean, I know he had the bad finger in – possibly a bad shoulder. We don't know the throws that he did make were exceptional. I mean, they were really
the throw to Moss was
perfect. But you know, later throws.
Now we're reserved to that.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm getting
Chad Henne sucked too. But the good throws he made were good throws.
I'm getting to Brady's physical
for Brady.
Physical.
Okay, for Brady it was two games. It was 13 for 14 for 270 and two touchdowns, and then 5 for 12 for 70 more yards or whatever it was in the second half with two picks.
Yeah.
You can't have that out of a guy who's so important to your offense. And Andy brought up something just now, too, with Henne. Let's not get carried away with Chad Henne. I know that all emailers have been very critical of Henne, saying, we turned this guy into Dan Marino. You're right. And you know what? If it were Dan Marino, they might have put up 50 points.
Right.
Because
Henne
missed more wide-open guys in that game.
At least twice in the blog, I wrote, thank you, Chad,
right,
because he missed – sure, big plays. Easy,
you know,
big
right
plays.
Right down to the second-to-last play, you know, it was third down and six, and he had Polite in the flat by himself.
Now,
in retrospect, it ended up being a blessing in disguise for Miami because it allowed them to take another couple of minutes off the clock, or at least a minute and a half, and the Patriots had to use their timeouts. If that had been completed, that's a touchdown. There was nobody within 10 yards of him, and he overthrew him by 10 yards.
Right.
He missed a guy in the end zone. Who was wide open. He overthrew one in the corner.
Right.
He had one that
and then he
just got tipped
right
to a guy who was wide open in the end zone
right,
on a pass that I think he should not have allowed to get tipped because there was nobody near the guy.
It was interesting. Who tipped that? Bodden? I think it was
someone said Bodden, yeah.
Bodden
sure.
Basically broke off his man. I don't know if he thought he had help behind him, but he broke off his man and charged the quarterback for some reason. I don't know what that was all about, but he left the guy wide open. Thank God he got a finger on the ball.
He did the same thing, by the way, later in the game for the touchdown to Hartline. He was on Hartline, came up to get the guy in there. I think it was might have been Williams, might have been Ricky in the flat. He came up and broke on that, and he just threw it over the top of him for a touchdown.
So
it was a bad performance all around again by everybody. Now, if you guys are asking me who I blame most, offense.
Because, I do too,
because they have too many players to be playing this kind of football.
You know, I think you're right. Both sides contributed, but I pin it on the offense if I were to, you know.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't start ripping Mike Wright and Tully Bantakane and Brandon McGowan and say they're the reason you're losing when Randy Moss.
I mean, fourth and one, and you run the ball behind Logan Mankins and Matt Light, and you're supposed to get a yard.
I thought that's what this team was tested for. Bill always says, you know, we're going to have to get a yard at some point to win games.
Should we talk about that, too? The fourth down thing is getting a lot of buzz.
Well, let's
that aren't in Boston, that's getting a lot of
buzz. Let's take
a
break, and we're going to talk about this whole fourth down thing this year.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VCast subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shape, serving Trace.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Well, there's two times to judge a schedule, beginning of the season and at the end of the season. Judging your schedule at the end of the season always comes out more accurate because now you know how good these teams actually were.
And this is the guy who's indispensable.
That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Want to put a bib on. No, I want to do a big shout out to Papa Gino's, who supplied today's lunch. And it's all in celebration of their new 2XL meal deal. So I want to tell you about that right now.
It's called the Perillo.
Well, it's just a regular for Paul, but for everybody else, it's a 2XL meal deal. Papa Gino's introduces the double XL meal deal, two extra large 17-inch cheese pizzas for just $19.99.
You're right. It is the Perillo.
That's less than $10 a pizza. Call to have your two mouth-watering pizzas delivered or order them online at papagenos.com. It's the double XL meal deal only at Papa Gino's. So you get two 17. These are big pizzas. We have two of them in front of us.
These things really are huge.
They are. Just $19.99 for two pizzas. So if you're having the kids over from the neighborhood, this is a good way to feed them.
Well done, Freddie.
Or maybe watching the game on Sunday.
Do we have a phone number for Papa Gino's?
Why are you inviting little boys over?
Papagenos.com.
No, but do we have a phone number?
For our local one?
For our local one.
Is there an 800 number that will switch you to your local one?
Go online.
No.
Go to Papagenos.com.
Is there an 800 number that will switch you to your local one?
There isn't an 800 number?
I don't think so. The copy says Papagenos.com. Let's go with the copy.
Okay, but it says
copy.
Call. It says call to have your two mouth-watering pizzas delivered.
Go online to papagenos.com.
Maybe you can find the phone number of the one nearest you.
And it's also easier to order online. I ordered D'Angelo's from my house online one day, and I didn't trust it, so I called and I said, I ordered online. I just wanted to make sure you got the order. And the guy goes, yeah, we did. So I'm guessing not a lot of people use the online because he said yes without asking me name, phone number, anything. I asked if they got the order, and he said yes.
If you go to papagenos.com, you can put in your address, and it'll get you a phone number for the closest one.
That's good to know.
It was very good pizza.
It was excellent today.
Well, Papa Gino's makes a good pie.
They do. Good meatball, too, right, Fred?
Yeah.
I couldn't get a sub.
All right, so before we went to the break, we started talking about what were we talking about? Oh, the fourth down stuff.
Well, that's starting to get a lot of talk around here. I was listening
starting to get a lot.
Well, because it's been a huge issue. They've gone for it on fourth down 16 times this year. They're 8 for 16, which is not a very good percentage for fourth down. I mean, for third down, that's great. But for fourth down, generally, you're going for it in a very short yardage
situation. And you know you're going to get it. You really think you're going to get it. Yeah.
So 8 for 16 isn't a great percentage on that. But more importantly than their success rate is suddenly when and where they're doing it. You know, obviously it started in earnest with the fourth and two in Indianapolis.
Which play was that?
It's continued right on through now. There was one deep inside the red zone in New Orleans in a 14-point game where Bill passed up a sure three, didn't get it. And then there was another one deep inside the red zone Sunday, fourth and inches. Do you think they should have gone for it, you guys?
At the time I said, go for it.
Me too.
I was fine with it.
Yeah, Andy and I both said to go for it, and
afterwards, Ron Borges told us it was a bad idea.
Well, when it got stopped, this was classic.
Of course.
And you know what? I'm glad that you did that because
I had no trouble calling people out.
Right. No, but I'm glad you said that
because
it was a very
interesting.
That's why I
don't get any radio TV appearances.
You know, Ron Borges was sitting, and in between Ron and I was Mike Reese, a good friend of the show, and Andy was to my left. So it was the four of us kind of engaged in conversation throughout the game, which was interesting because we don't always get a chance to be that close to the quote-unquote real meeting.
Right.
And it was exactly as Andy said. Morris gets stuffed, and Borges, who, you know, God bless Borgie, you know, Mr. the king of negativity,
turns to Mike and I
and says, that's why you don't go for it. So I turned back. I said, why, because you didn't get it? And Mike was so happy with me because Mike was doing a slow burn, you know, because here's this guy, you know, and Mike, by the way, wouldn't have gone for it. He said it beforehand. And then I had said the reason I would have gone for it wasn't necessarily because I thought I would get it, but whatever. I felt that 14-7 at the 2-minute warning, because that play was the 2-minute warning before the fourth down play.
Right.
The worst that happens, as I said to Andy, famous last words, another parole prediction gone horribly wrong. If you don't get it, Miami's on their own 6-yard line with less than 2 minutes left. The worst that happens,
you go to the locker room
with a 14-7 lead.
Right.
And you may even stop them 3 and out and get the ball back at the 50 and get that 3 anyway.
Right.
Right?
Unless you go for it again.
Unless you go for it and the other team goes 85 yards on you in a minute 54 and kicks a chip shot field goal at the buzzer of the half, which is what happened.
Right.
And I turned to Mike after that happened. I said, hey, you were right, Mike. And Mike said, yeah, but I just want to say for the record, I was right before it happened. His little zinger at Borgie, which he was dead on, and we gave Ron a hard time.
Forget about Ron, though. Obviously, the decision's made. I write in the blog, I'd go for it, too. And I would, but I'm a stupid idiot fan.
Exactly.
This gets back to what you were talking about earlier, Andy, about knowing the team.
Right.
Should Bill know enough now to say, we got to get those 3 points?
And that's what Tony Dungy criticized the move. I didn't see it live. They send out the quotes. And he criticized the move. He said, bad football is coaching decisions, too. And Bill has to feel at that point that this is going to be a tight game, those 3 points will be valuable.
Right.
And that was how it played out. You have those three points, you may win.
And I'm sure he felt that they were going to get it and felt that that was the right thing to do. But then Bill has to go back privately and now question himself and say, are my feelings incorrect here?
Edit letter.
Yeah, do I have to reevaluate how I feel about this team?
Because my thinking at the time and going for it was, with the big plays, the way the offense had moved the ball, I thought the only way the Dolphins were going to compete was if they suddenly started hitting big plays, got into a little shootout, got lucky, you know, a big break here, a turnover, something. I didn't see a second-half dogfight where kicking a field goal was going to win the game as it did for Miami. So that was my logic, but I'm not paid $4 million a year to make sure I know how the game is being played out, how my team is, how their team is.
You know,
that's his decision.
My feeling was, like Paul said, even if the worst happens and they even, you know, we're scoring at will. We're going to continue to do what we did in the second half. And I should have known this team isn't a good second half team.
Right.
It hasn't been, and there's no reason to think that they're going to be starting today. And I didn't think that. I made the same mistake that I've been making all year. And thinking they've done it in the first half, they'll continue to do it.
The Dolphins lived up to their MO is to be in dogfights,
right?
To play tough, even when they lose.
They hang around,
and that's what they did. So they kind of played up to their end. The Patriots played up to their end in not doing well after halftime, not making good second half decisions. So you're right. You know, using all the evidence at hand, Bill probably should have made the other decision.
The 2020 hindsight tells us definitely.
We'll call that Borges hindsight.
Yeah, and I will also say this. Now, moving, Andy made a comment about knowing your team, and you know, he gets paid to know those decisions. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Moving forward now, I learned from that. I'm not going to just go for it in general now, because in the past, I was fairly confident I would get it. Now I'm not so confident.
Right.
Now they've been stopped a few times, and there was a fourth down in one earlier in the game from about midfield that they punted. And I also agreed with that decision to punt because I felt like, again, Miami's looking for a reason to get back in this game. Don't give it to them. I still felt the Patriots were in control of the game at that time, and I think it was a wise move to punt there. But going forward, I have to be a little bit more, you know, responsible with my
I'm playing
decisions.
The odds more now. I'm being conventional football.
And I know that Belichick and Parcells love to go for it on fourth down. They both shared that philosophy. And I
because they usually had a defense that could back that
but
up.
But I also agree with it. I think that you put pressure on That's the true. Offense. I mean, you put pressure on the opposing defense. You go for it on fourth down when it calls for it. And I like that. I don't like from your own 28-yard line.
Right. More often than not, they've had a tough defense that could back up the decision.
There's no way they would
have
allowed.
This defense isn't tough.
There's no way in 2003 or 2004 they would have allowed Miami, never mind the field goal. They would have never allowed them to get out off the goal line like that. They would have had the ball back before the end of the half.
I have another minor criticism. Late in the game, when they take the final kickoff, they need a big play, theoretically, right? And they put Welker back deep as the kick returner. What do you think of that decision?
I don't go for it. I don't buy it.
I don't like it on a number.
He's
first
not a
of all,
play guy.
I don't
no,
think he can take it to the house. I think he may be your best returner in terms of vision, quickness, but I don't think he can break one and take a kickoff 89 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
The second is he got pounced on and was very slow to get up. And on a team where you've already admitted you have two options on offense, Moss and Welker,
right.
You're putting him in a dangerous position where he can get hurt, and it looked like he got banged up, and he had a rib issue early in the year.
And he's I'll tell you, you look at him after these games. It's amazing he's still together.
Well, and how surprised were you to have Isaiah stand back there to begin the game?
Well, I think he may be your best off returner at times because he's big, fast, strong. I think he's a good guy to lead through, and he's been in that role. So I don't have as big a problem. They don't have a guy. They clearly don't have a guy.
It used to be Maroney, but
I know, but it's not.
Yeah.
They've decided it's not. And your guy Slater, while I think he's gotten a little bit better, is not the guy.
No, he doesn't have the vision.
Butler hasn't had enough opportunities to show me he's the guy. They don't have it. They don't have the Ellis Hobbs or the Lawrence Maroney,
Wheatley
who was
inactive this week.
Right.
He had done it a little bit last week. And Bill talked a lot about it yesterday. I don't know if you read the transcript, Andy, but he didn't put it on the returners, but he said it just hasn't been good enough.
Right.
He flat out said, we're not getting enough out of that.
I'm just stunned that you need it good enough, and you turn to Wes Welker, who you're putting in danger, and I don't think is capable of doing what you think he can do.
Right. Paul in Nova Scotia is mad at us. He says, I just got finished listening to you guys rant. Wow, I can't believe how many times I heard you guys say these guys stink. Has it come to this that we have become so spoiled we don't realize there are ups and downs? And by the way, I think the press overhyped this team, so take some responsibility. I'm actually happy I'm not a fan of 12 other teams that out and out really stink.
No, I don't think there are. I don't think there are 12 teams that are out and out significantly worse than the Patriots.
And I think if you put Brady on and Moss on, I mean, I think they're getting by with a couple superstars. That's keeping them from being stinky.
On the phone, 508-543-7482, is Kevin from Reading. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Go Rockets.
Yeah, this is Kevin from Reading, originally from Marshfield.
Right, I know. Hey, you both won Super Bowls.
Yeah, so either way I won. Fourth down plays, you know, when you're around the 35, you know, when you're around the 35 to, say, 45-40, I don't mind going for those fourth and one down plays because when you punt it, you're not really, you know, most likely he's going to put it in the end zone. He's not really good at landing it like between the 10 and the 5. So you're not giving up that much yards. So I don't mind going for it there. I wish they would stop going for it in the 20 when you're inside the 20 because everybody's saying, oh, Belichick knows your defense. He has to score. Well, if you miss it, then you're taking points off the board. You've got a really good kicker. Just, you know, when we're in the 20, just kick the field goal. Put the points up, you know. And that was not a fourth and, like, 5 inches. That was a fourth and a good 3 feet. So I know you guys said you were definitely in favor of it at the time, and I was kind of on the fence, but from now on, I want a new rule. Inside the 20, and it's a long fourth and one, go for it. Just kick the field goal.
Well, I think, Kevin, that's kind of our point.
Yeah,
we're all the
you.
Same ways.
I'm like, with you. I was wrong.
You know, now we've lost confidence. Now we're going to take the sure points.
And, Fred, you talked about the line earlier. That plays into it, too. The how much faith you have in the offensive line to move the line of scrimmage and get you the tough yard with the defense knowing what's coming. How can they move it?
I mean, they ran behind the two best guys on that line, supposedly.
Theoretically, yeah.
You know,
and with their best short yardage ball carrier.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Nick Kasia, Did you guys? I rewound the last play of the game for the Pats.
Cameron Wake abused
by Brady.
Yeah.
I was playing that on a continuous loop for 10 minutes, trying to break it down.
Trying to kill yourself.
You know what? I recorded the whole game, and I was going to watch it back that night. And I got about 10 minutes into it, and I couldn't do it, and I deleted it from the DVR.
Good call.
Yeah, I agree.
But I rewound that tape because I wanted to see how they got to him. And Kasia was lined up. The guy was on his outside shoulder. Kasia was lined up. He went back to block him. You could tell right away his weight was he had none of his weight on his toes. He was on his back heel, and when that guy hit him, he drove him back like he was on roller skates for 7 yards, right? Pushed him out of the way and then veered off to the right to hit Brady. It was unbelievable. How does a guy that's 6'6", 230 pounds, just get manhandled like that? That's
technique.
Crazy.
You know what I think happened, and I'm not certainly an expert on offensive line play, but Cameron Wake, Andy, helped me out, is one of those speed kind of guys.
Supposedly,
I think he was probably on his heels because he's looking for that speed edge rush, and he got hit. He got hit with a bull rush instead.
And that's what a good pass rusher does.
Yeah. He got dominated. Kevin just explained it exactly. I mean, he was on roller skates, and he went right into the backfield, and then he had Brady around the waist and just ripped him down.
You know, I know they're getting really, you know, cracking down on these head injuries, but, you know, maybe we told Mama, you know, hey, how you feeling? Be good? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
They did tell him that in the second half.
that's a good one. The Lee Bowden play too, Fred.
Yeah.
That was another one. When it happened, I just kind of replayed it. He was definitely man to man, and Henny was locked in on the right side, and was looking in the backfield. He saw that, and that's when he broke.
Right.
And Henny turned like at the last minute to see the guy was open, and by that time Bowden was on top of him.
But it's a good thing he got his hand on it.
Yeah. It was definitely one of these things where, you know, it was he had man coverage and he saw something, and then he you know, tried to make a play.
Yeah, I don't mind that, but you got to make sure you got it, you know.
Yep.
And he didn't, you know, so
very fortunate.
Yeah.
And the last thing, do you guys talk about, because I don't get to listen to the show while I'm at work during the day. Did you guys talk about the Randy Moss play where it was that interception? And did you guys talk about, it seemed to me like, first of all, the pass, if Brady put it on Moss's back shoulder, so it was one of those plays where the receiver actually has to kind of come back for the ball, it would have been a touchdown.
Well, we talked about that, about, you know, it wasn't a bad decision. It was just a bad pass.
Andy said it. It wasn't a touchdown because of where the throw was. It was an interception because Moss did very little to prevent
it. That's kind of my point. I'm surprised. Like, he saw – it wasn't this case where Moss didn't expect the ball. The ball's on top of him, and the defensive back makes the play. You could see that Moss saw the ball coming all the way, and – you know, I practically never agree with Felger on anything. And, you know, one of his big thing has been Moss doesn't fight for the ball, whatever that means.
Yeah, he was positively giddy yesterday.
That particular instance, like, I could, you know, Moss should have, you know, it just grabbed the guy, get the offensive pass interference call, you know, at that point. Just, you know, the one thing you can't do is let them have an interception there.
Right.
Well, that might also be something Brady's talking about when he says, we don't fight back. You know, there's a couple people that he might have been directing that to.
Ruh-roh.
And you notice,
if that's the case, then that's major trouble.
Oh, yeah.
That guy, he'll take his ball and go home.
But you notice on the sideline, Moss gets nowhere near Brady anymore.
I haven't noticed that. I know that, I guess, from talking to some of the people on the sideline, Moss was apoplectic after the touchdown, the first touchdown, when Brady went to the locker room. He didn't know what was going on. Where's Tom? You know, like, oh, my God. I can't play if I have to go out there and Brian Hoyer's the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
He's fragile, mentally fragile. As talented as he is, he will check out at the first sign of adversity.
Yeah, this coming draft, they definitely, one of their key needs is, I think they need to draft, you know, and supposedly this draft is deep. because you got all the juniors coming out.
Well, now, dude, if you're Bill Belichick, do you take that 2011 pick that you got for Seymour and try to parlay that into something this year?
No, that would be funny.
Do you really get desperate and say we got to load up this year because of all the juniors going in? And I just
the thing about the Raiders, though, it actually looks like they're showing an improvement. So maybe that draft pick, you know, it's not going to be so great. Now, granted, the Raiders could screw it up on a dime.
Yep.
One last thing. I'm going to be off the week between Christmas and New Year's, and I was wondering if I buy you guys lunch. Could I come in and sit in on the show?
Well, we'll have to talk about that off air with Doc.
Okay.
We don't know. It depends on what our schedule is that week and what's going on here and all that stuff. So
yeah, we have to
Doc, take care of that.
We have to look at the details of that schedule.
Depends how good the lunch is.
Oh, it'll be a feast.
All right, Kevin.
Thanks,
see you,
Kevin.
All right, Kevin. Thanks. From Reading, 508-543-7482. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. We have a lot of them, so we should probably get to them, huh?
I started laughing when he said maybe we should trade the 011 pick
this year
because we were sold on the value of that pick at the time because it was the first-round pick in 11 after all the dust settles on the CBA and rookie scale and all this. And now we're going to trade that to hurry up.
The circumstances on the ground have changed.
I agree with you because, you know, I want more talent around Brady and Moss sooner rather than later because that 11 pick might not be around Moss in any way.
The conditions on the ground have changed. Let's see. Chris writes in. I don't want to waste a ton of time telling you how I feel because I'm not exactly sure what that is. Finding it very hard to get a handle on this team, so I've set up 11 true-false questions to get your opinions.
11?
Take out your number two pencils and let's give this a shot. True-false opinion section. Given the expectations, this is the most disappointing season of the Belichick era. True-false. I'd say false.
Well, I mean, the most disappointing was Super Bowl 42, the end of that season.
I would say, but I'd say the year that they didn't make the playoffs, they got bounced out the last week against Miami. That was pretty disappointing.
Well, we beat Miami and the Jets.
Like, they beat them, but the Jets won, and so we got bounced out last week.
I would say this would be more than that. I'm going to say true.
Well, it's not over yet.
Okay. I didn't
know. So he hadn't turned by the start of the show, but by the middle of the show, it's not over yet, Paul. We're going to win, baby.
I didn't have anywhere near the expectation level going into 2002 that I did this year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. I didn't either.
Derek Burgess' trade is the worst of the Belichick era. Was Beisel or Chad Brown trades, or were they just pick up some free agent?
Yeah. I've got to give that some thought.
I'm going to have to say yes.
I think I'm going to say true because third and fifth round pick is more than they've given up for a trade generally. And he's done nothing.
He's worse than
all the other trades that didn't work out were tight end picks, you know?
Yeah, this is the worst.
What about does trading up in the second round? Is that also Jackson?
Those are trades, but I can't necessarily equate them.
Belichick is getting too little help from his assistant coaches.
I'm going to say true.
True.
With that.
See, way for me to know that.
Right.
I don't know.
And I have to answer true or false, so I'll answer true.
Gerard Mayo is failing to live up to his draft status.
True.
True.
Well, he certainly hasn't made that big leap that he hoped he would, and we all hoped he would.
He set the expectations himself, and he's failed to reach them.
I mean, he's still in there. He's still solid. You don't see him make big mistakes.
12 tackles.
He's a good player.
Even this week, he had a half a sack.
Yeah. He's a good player. I don't have any problem with him being the middle linebacker of my team.
Right.
Hasn't given me the bang.
I just continue to say, go compare him to Patrick Willis, Curtis Lofton, who's the other guy I like to point out? Even David Harris. There's guys that have the same tackle type numbers and more of those big play numbers that, you know, cost Lawyer Malloy's job.
What, Doc?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Spread too thin? Do you think that starts at not just Bill, but look at Nick Caserio? Is he still out of practice coaching the wide receivers? Isn't that taking him away from looking at talent and scouting and running that department?
That's a fair point.
You know, I don't know how much he'd be doing of that right now and that we would see it because there are not a lot of veteran moves right now. Now, if they have a terrible draft, I might say, why was your personnel guy coaching
all year? To Nick's defense, I remember Scott Pioli coming out to practice, too. So
he wasn't really doing anything.
Yeah, he wasn't doing anything, but he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing.
In either arena.
Right.
You know, so I don't think it, you know. Anyway.
But theoretically, to go out to practice, you're also going to your position meetings. You're also
right, right.
for Casario, yeah. whereas Pioli could just come out to
the
take
hour
a break
and a half
from his other stuff.
In practice.
Right.
Now, the other thing that you don't know is how that department is set up. You know, Bill talks about John Robinson and Jason Light and all those guys. Maybe they're the ones that are scouring.
And we forget about Floyd Reese, too. You know, he's probably have, you know, although he doesn't have that title, he's probably doing more of what we think Casario would be doing as well.
I really do forget about him.
Yeah.
The only time I remember him is when I get on the plane and I see, oh, yeah, Floyd Reese is here.
Right.
Yeah. I always forget about him.
Nice man.
And the final opinion, true false, is Randy Moss has lost several steps.
Yeah,
false.
I think that's true.
Andy says false.
Yeah, we talked about it last. Remember, I brought it up last week, and he was making fun of me after one play. And
physically,
know,
I think he's the same
side.
Guy. Mentally, I don't know.
Well, okay.
But all I can say is physically, step wise, I think he
when
still
he wants
can.
To,
I
he still, seems to be able to do it.
He leads the National Football League in receiving yards. Yes. He's beating guys for long touchdowns. I don't know what else to measure.
I right. still think that he is. You know, as gifted as
Paul, get him in the wheelchair.
I think
run
that
him
he
out of
is,
the league.
I think he's nearing the end of the line. That's all.
Obviously, he's nearing. How close is he? This year? Next year? Where's the end of the line?
I think he's got 2 years left after this.
Well, one.
You say one?
Yeah. I don't say his contract says.
Well, no. I
he
mean,
signed a 3-year extension.
True false future prediction section. Jake Delhomme will have his best game of the season next week, more than the 325 yards he had versus Buffalo.
If he plays,
he may not play.
Yes.
If he plays, I put this in the category, and I'm not trying to be, you know, Chicken Little here. I put this in the category of a game that they could lose. Because if the good Jake Delhomme shows up, who hasn't been around very often this year,
right.
he's capable of doing it. We know he can do it.
Right.
He's better than Chad Henne
right.
if he's playing well.
I'm saying he doesn't.
I'm saying he doesn't, too. I'm saying he's not going to play.
Besides London, the Patriots will not win an away game this year.
False.
I'm going to say that's false.
Yeah. I still say they win their last four.
then he'll be saying
do.
Last three.
I honestly believe it.
I thought it would
what
be
did your edit letter say?
I thought it would be 12 o'clock, but it was 1 o'clock. I missed.
New England will win the division and come on strong in the playoffs.
True/false.
I agree.
What does that mean?
They'll win the division, but they won't come on strong.
I don't think they're a
The Patriots will install the Wildcat offense by the end of the season.
False.
False.
I think they'll run a few plays. I do.
Well, they've tried to at various times.
Right.
Next season, the Patriots will have revamped offensive and defensive backfields.
What?
So I think true/false again. I think they might have a different look in the offensive backfield, but I think what you see out there right now with the secondary guys, Will Hite, Butler, Merriweather.
Oh, yeah.
I think the crux of that group is going to stay the same next year.
Maroney's gone. Most of those other guys will be here.
And finally, Tom Brady will end his career with another team.
True.
True.
Wow.
I didn't necessarily mean, like, this next contract, but at some point he'll play for another team.
Yeah, and that's how I've been saying that for 5 years.
Hell no.
Okay. Let's see.
Tom doesn't agree.
Phil in Stamford, Connecticut. At this point, the pass rush is non-existent in the Patriots' defense. With no pass rush, our secondary is getting exposed. Chad Henne had all the time in the world to throw the ball. The Patriots' defense makes an average quarterback look like an elite quarterback. We were all complaining about the defense being too old, but now I think the defense is too young. The Patriots haven't won a road game all year in the U.S. They continue to struggle in the second half. Are we no longer among one of the elite teams and just an average team? What are your thoughts?
Yes. You're no longer among the elite teams right now.
I agree.
You know what I also want to call into question is a philosophical, and everybody has fixated on the draft, trading down. That's one of the things, a lightning rod. Stop trading down, stay or trade up and get some real talent. Well, I think you can make the same argument in free agency, where they've – who have they re-signed during the season this year? They've re-signed Eric Alexander, Tully Bantakane, Nick Kazier, half of the guys that people want to run off the team, Bill's signing to extensions. And in the offseason, they couldn't do certain things because, you know, they had to get rid of Matt Castle and Mike Vrabel quickly so they could re-sign James Sanders. Well, what's James Sanders doing? He's inactive.
Forget
so that whole
him.
Theory Jeez. Of quantity over quality isn't working on either the draft or free agency.
I'll
what the hell
line.
Is going on with James Sanders?
I'll parrot a line that Andy said upstairs. You know, I don't think you'd have the secondary guys laughing and joking after a loss if James Sanders was playing.
Yeah.
It's true. I think he's the closest thing they have to a leader in that secondary, and he can't be a leader
when
he's...
can't be a leader when you're not playing.
Doesn't play. I mean, they're just going to tell him to go screw himself, like I would if nobody was telling me what to do. But still,
Keith in Central Florida, why does Bill run the draft and free agency like he's ordering from the dollar menu?
That's what
sure,
I said.
He may splurge every once in a while and get a shake with his burger and fries, but more often than not, he is ordering like it's his last dollar in his pocket. The difference between winning and losing is Bill's value chart. Among many, we could have had Vontae Davis, who will be a playmaker in the league, instead of saving a dollar and drafting down. Everyone knows before the draft that Vontae and Ray Maliuga would be impact players, including PFW. Why didn't Bill? Imagine Mayo and Maliuga in the middle for years to come, along with a big, fast, physical corner. Cut back on the meal deals, Bill. The burgers are getting smaller and are often dried out, not to mention they are bad for our health. Get some real food next time you go to the grocery shopping so we don't continue to get flame broiled all the time.
I'm into nuggets, y'all. I'm into nuggets, y'all. I'm into
so,
nuggets, y'all.
You know, I was thinking about that.
Kind of agree.
You know, with the whole draft, it's almost like these guys that, you know, come from the big schools like the Maliugas and the, you know, the Clay Matthews, guys that, you know, are all hyped up before the draft. We automatically put a flag next to them, say they're not going to be as good as everyone says they're going to be. It just seems like
because Bill kind of tells us that.
Yeah, it's just well, not us, but I mean the team does that. It just almost seems like.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of us.
No.
I thought Vontae Davis was going to be pretty good.
No,
because I'll be honest with you. I'd like to roll out our track record of guys we liked, like David Harris and John Beeson and Vontae Davis.
And for the last 2 years, by the way, we do have that database.
Yes,
and we're keeping it. So just for
Mendenhall
so we can do
that. Is ridiculous.
But it's almost like you know how when Paul Kowski. Hears what the fans are talking about. He always goes against them.
Right.
Well, Bill, whatever the draft Knicks are saying, he goes against them.
Right.
You know,
it's true.
We never go after that flashy guy.
Well, but right. Beeson is a guy that I thought that Bill liked.
Yeah, I know. But I liked him too.
Was he available when we picked?
I don't think
he's
he
always
was.
Available. If Bill has taught you nothing, if he wants a guy, he can go get him.
Well, yeah, but there's a big difference between if the guy's there, I'm going to pick him. Then I'm going to move up and...
Well, he said he's going to move up to get Chad Jackson, Daniel Graham.
Well, no.
He moves up when he wants a guy, right?
Yeah.
Right? Warren? If he wants a guy, he moves up to get him.
It's a fair point, but I think that there's a difference between liking a guy...
You're a suck up.
Liking a guy enough to move up to get him. Maybe he didn't like him that much.
Right.
Well, maybe he should have, because I did.
Okay.
I did, didn't I?
You would have moved up
you
to
liked
get him?
Vontae Davis.
I really like Vontae
but you know
Davis.
What?
Memory, Fred. I have no idea what I thought.
I also really liked Alphonso Smith, and he hasn't done a whole lot in Denver. He's been a nickel guy and
like
been hurt. I liked both of those guys. I liked their toughness.
I liked Everett Brown, and he's doing nothing for Carolina. He's got a sack and a half. You know,
that's a problem in and of itself.
We could use another sack and a half on this team.
That's what Brady says.
TG and NJ says, I've been listening to the Fall of Rome for the last couple of days. Now more than ever, I'm convinced it's players that make it go. Belichick didn't win those Super Bowls. The players did. And Belichick, we trust, doesn't work if the guy doesn't have good players to coach. This team lacks the personnel to get it done right now, no matter what Belichick schemes. People are pointing to the offseason personnel moves as a reason. Belichick hasn't really been hitting the jackpot for the last couple drafts. Could it be a case where Belichick is good at coaching them up, but he's not so good at shopping for the groceries? Is the loss of Pioli that crucial? Who is the big talent evaluator now? Personally, I think the loss of Bucko Kilroy is a factor. Okay, I won't go that far, but...
They want you to cook the dinner.
Bill Belichick's still a guy.
You shop for some of the groceries.
Always has been, always will be. It's his decisions.
Right. And like Paula said, you know, when all the facts are in a couple of years from now... The 09 draft might turn out to be a pretty good draft.
Sure.
Yeah, I think you're getting...
But the last 2 years haven't been that good.
Early contributions you're getting from that draft are pretty promising. But, the last few haven't gotten a whole lot. And that, I think, is when you talk about have they deteriorated since 04. I mean, I think that's... You look at all the guys that they had and are no longer here from them, and then the guys that have replaced those guys, and they don't stack up.
Right.
They just don't.
And the other issue is... He only had one time. He's only ever made one move where he went and got somebody, and that was Adalys Thomas. Everything else was bargain basement for reasons one way or the other.
I would say Welker falls into that category.
But he wasn't. You paid $18 million. You didn't go high price.
And everyone said they overpaid.
For what he was. And it
right.
was. But it was
right.
in his
but
eyes.
But he went and got him.
It was a bargain basement.
Oh,
it wasn't
well, no.
to compete.
He went and got a lot of guys. But what I'm saying is he didn't invest mega bucks.
It wasn't the
he didn't set the market on a lot of guys. Maybe
right.
Colvin and Thomas are the only two guys you can say that about.
Yeah, maybe Colvin.
I'll give him a pass for Colvin because of the injury.
Pure money, but they paid more and they gave up a second round pick for a guy that people said you didn't have to do that for Wes Welker.
Right. No, well, people were saying you didn't have to go as high for Randy Moss in trade because the Packers wouldn't.
Right.
He did. But it's still a value move. You saw a Hall of Fame receiver that you could get on the cheap, just like you saw a key slot receiver that you could get on. He's now on the cheap after 365 catches over 3 years or whatever the hell it is.
Well, now he is, yeah. But at the time, people said you overpaid.
The only time he's ever really gone out is those edge rushers. Yeah. Edge,
but you're confusing the two
rushes.
Turns. People did say they overpaid. I was one of the people that said that they overpaid.
He still says they
overpaid. But they didn't give him a lot of money. There's
no,
a difference.
It wasn't
there.
A money thing. Right.
Sean Springs they overpaid for, and he got less than Welker.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the amount of money. It's about what you had to pay to get the guy. And the only guy that they really went out there to me is Colvin and Thomas, where they paid as much as anybody else was willing to give the guy, which is very anti-patriot. They don't do that a lot.
And even worse, I think with their own people, as we're talking about personnel decisions, they've overpaid some of the mid-level Jarvis Greens or in that kind of core of player and haven't been willing to pay Samuel and some of the higher-priced elite players, franchise-type players.
Samuel's a good one because there's a guy, and I said it many times, I know for a fact they wanted him back, and it just surprised me that they lost him so easily.
Right.
They didn't even seem to be in the ball game, and he didn't get. He didn't break the bank.
He got going rate.
Yeah, he didn't break the
bank. He certainly would have to say right now he would be a difference maker on this defense.
Oh, God, yeah. God, yeah. People want a blitz to get pressure. Right. Maybe you could do that if you had one guy you could count on to cover an opposing receiver, like the Jets do with Darrell Revis.
Exactly. Josh in Arlington says, Brady chokes again. I noticed you skipped my email last Thursday, Fred, the one that said you should apologize for calling me crazy when I said Brady blew the Colts game. He is playing like crap when it matters most late in the game. Apologize. Don't get me wrong. I wish he would play better. I would love it. But stop ignoring the fact that he is sucking and inconsistent. What the hell is wrong with Belichick? Impossibly dumb coaching decisions yesterday. He kicks that field goal in the second quarter and we win the game. Yes, I know you guys predictably say that is not necessarily true.
Butterfly
what
effect.
Is he thinking?
Well, I think he should have, in retrospect, I think he should have kicked the field goal for sure. But how does him playing badly in Miami, in the second half of Miami, mean that you were right about the Colts game?
Right.
The Colts game is still separate entity.
He's claiming that he said it in the Colts game and I called him crazy.
Well, he could still be crazy. Yeah. If you think that he played fine in the Colts game, nothing that he did Sunday changed how he played in the Colts game.
Right.
So I don't think that he
people
was.
People are just upset, but, you know.
I don't think he was part of the problem in the Colts.
I think that, you know, all these people that are just get rid of Brady, get rid of Belichick.
You know how many emails we had to him as Tom Bled,
if any one of those
Brady?
People, including Ron Borges, was running a team today and Bill Belichick was available, they take him in a heartbeat. You know they
I
would.
I don't think Ron Borges would take Bill.
That's probably a bad example.
I'll bet you he would. At the end of the day, it's about winning, and you take the best guy, and Belichick's the best guy.
But is he the best guy right now?
Well, he's having a hard time because, like we said in the beginning of the show, he might have to reevaluate how he thinks about this team.
But you just said since 2004 it's been fading.
No, that's what Borges said.
No, what I said, though, is
I thought you agreed.
If you're evaluating
that's the one part I didn't agree with.
No, you said the organization hasn't
that's
gone
what
down.
Borges said. He said that the
right,
the
but,
team
you think,
is,
but you think that Borges' use of the word organization means the entirety. I think Borges is talking about the personnel level is dropping in the last 5 years, and I agree with that.
Well, but they've continued, I say, to have success since 04.
Right.
It hasn't been the ultimate
But he's not
success.
Saying that they haven't had success since 04. He's saying they're on the way down.
Okay.
They're trending down. That's what he's saying.
Well, if you know, they went down,
they went
then they went up in 07, then they've gone down again.
They went 11-5 last year, and they have to rip off, as Andy likes to say, a Matt Castle-like winning streak to do so again.
Right. Who would have thunk we'd be saying
now,
that right now?
I put the asterisk there. It's a much tougher schedule this year than they had to deal with last year. But still, they're on the way down.
Well, a much better
again, from Mount Olympus, they're on the way down.
Right.
You know,
but that's part of it.
Eventually, that you know, I don't know. It's
you're still going down, whatever you're doing.
Are the Colts on a gradual decline from 04?
Absolutely. No, they're not, actually.
No. They started at Mount Olympus, too.
Absolutely. No.
They've won 12 games or more, seven straight years.
But I don't think the Patriots, the Patriots have been competitive every year.
And so have the Colts.
And that's what I said. They're not going down.
But the difference is
the Patriots are.
The Colts lost their head coach. They had all this confusion. They lost it. Everybody thought this was the year.
Well, the Patriots have lost two coordinators, three now.
Yes, and they've lost the ability to go 12-0 to start the season. And the Colts, Peyton Manning lost all that, and he's going 12-0 to start the season.
And the Colts just lost their coach.
You That's know, my point. Well, they've gone through all this transition,
they lost
and
the
they're actually
too,
doing
the
as well or better.
They lost a head coach and the defensive coordinator from last year.
And some people say that the new head coach is just as good.
Some people say he's better.
I think Bill O'Brien is better than Josh McDaniels. Some people are saying that, too.
But
I don't
know.
You have to show me
evidence to prove that the new head coach could be better than Dungy. There's no evidence to prove right now that anything new here is better than the old.
That's my point. You can say anything you want. I'm totally with you.
I just think it's pretty easy to say they're not as good as the team that won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls.
You know what they're not
as good
as?
You know what? You're right.
They're not as good as the team we expected them to be. That's the bottom line.
But I would say
the Colts. That's true. I agree with that.
And I think Bill, if we got him in here, would say, hey, we're not as good as I thought we were.
You know what? And I think if Bill was being honest,
might not
say, they're not as good as I thought they were
going
to. I think Bill would have to say that.
I would say the Colts would say that they're better than the team that they won the Super Bowl with.
And I bet you they would say they're better than we thought we would be. They've been amazing.
That's possible.
You know?
Back when Manning was saying we're not on the same page in this building and all that crap.
Absolutely. You know?
I'm just talking about.
You know, so you take one team
not,
that is
not the expectation.
You know, take one team that's been absolutely amazing for a long time and say, well, the Patriots aren't there, so they're declining.
I'm comparing them to the Patriots.
Right.
I'm not comparing them to anybody else, and neither is Borges.
You compared them to the Colts.
You keep saying that Borges is wrong because they started at Mount Olympus. Well, other teams have started at Mount Olympus, and they didn't drop.
Oh, brother.
All Borges is trying to say is their
aren't they
talent
supposed
level
to be
is dropping. Compared to their own team.
I know, but he
Harrison, Brewski, Seymour,
gone. You know what Borges is doing. He's trying to say that it's time for Belichick to go.
Well,
that's what he's saying.
If you think this is a secret meeting, and that's a whole different argument, I won't
argue
with
you. But that's what he's saying.
Because I'm not going to defend Ron Borges on his secret agenda.
He has lost it. He can't pick personnel. He can't draft. It's time for him to go. Evidence is they're not as good as they were since 2004.
If that's your argument, I'm not going to argue with you because I don't know what Ron thinks. I don't know
what he's saying.
I don't know what his hidden meanings
that's
are like you
saying.
Do.
But
I don't know what that is.
Did he say he can't or he's not as good as he was?
Well,
there's two different arguments
I think he's not.
He hasn't done as good a job the last 5 years as he did the first 5 years.
That's
fact. But that's a story that I read. I don't see any secret hidden
meanings.
That's
different than he's lost it. He's got to go.
I don't think he wrote that Belichick has to go. I didn't see that. But, again, I'm not going to argue what he
didn't
write.
Did you read Fred's copy?
No, I didn't. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to argue what he didn't write and what he meant.
Did you read it backwards and spin it around?
I can argue anything. I can't argue something that he didn't write.
I guarantee he and all these people saying BB must go, if they had to start a team today, they'd start it with Bill Belichick as the head coach.
Well,
and they'd be crazy not to.
I would.
That's
I
fact, because we always
of course
make
you
them
would.
Say,
because
give
you're
us
smart,
a name.
Paul.
And I got in an argument
now
with
Paul's
the guy
but
last
you're not,
week.
But you're not one of these people that said Belichick should go.
But you wouldn't believe the amount of SPFWs
we
get that say that.
And I'm saying every one of them would pick Belichick as their head coach.
Yeah, but all I'm asking you that now is that as much of a no-brainer today as it was in September?
So
there's nothing that he could do that would shake your confidence.
Well, no, there are things he could do, but he hasn't done them yet.
Beyond those things, is there? You know, how many fourth down decisions that you would question would it take for you to say, you know what, maybe he's not as good as we thought?
I'm drawing the line today. If after
he does it
today,
anymore going forward,
if he does it anymore going forward, he is simply stubborn and refusing to see reality.
I just don't understand that. I don't understand that.
Look, I mean, this is a fluid thing. I mean, there's no...
But not
you know,
to you, it's not. No matter what he does, he's the guy that everybody would take.
No,
it's not a fluid thing
for him.
And I'm not sure that's true anymore. I think there are people today that honestly wouldn't take him, giving the whole span, their emotion, everything.
I still think the guy's amazing.
I think there's some that can honestly look in the mirror and say no.
You take these fans...
That's what I'm asking.
You take these fans that send us the most vile... emails that are full of Spygate, F this, F that.
Are you going to tell us what they're really thinking, too?
They would take them.
Okay.
They would take them.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not so sure.
But
I think there is it's admittedly very small. It's, you know, less than 1% of the population. But I think there are people now that don't believe Bill Belichick is as great as they thought he was.
They love saying that. They love saying it because it you know, it's fun. It's trash talking. It's, you know, we're getting our comeuppance.
It's not trash talking when it's your own fans saying it.
It's your own fans.
Well, those are the people, you know, look, these people, you know, started becoming fans in 01, half of them. Okay. If they're sending us an email saying, I'm not watching the team anymore because of what they did on 4th and 2, they're not really fans to begin with.
No one said they weren't watching anymore because of 4th and 2.
Are you kidding me?
I've read that before. But
they're not watching anymore. That was in light of the unfortunate you know, video incident of a couple of years ago.
Are you kidding? But, you know, for whatever reason, if they say, other than somebody shooting somebody with a gun, you know, or waking up next to a kid in a bed, if they're saying...
Oh, those are the things Bill would have to do
if you were reading between the lines.
Yeah, sort of. but if they're saying, I'm not going to watch... I'm no longer a fan because they went for it on 4th and 2.
I haven't seen that very often.
I have. I'm no longer a fan because...
Yeah, you saw Borges saying something.
You're not picking the right people in the draft. Then they're not fans.
People are wondering...
They're bandwagon people.
But Fred, are you a bandwagon person if you're sitting there like Andy says...
You can criticize.
And they're writing in, they're saying... This 4th down stuff, he's arrogant, he's lost it, he's stubborn. I can't take this anymore. He's costing my team games with his coaching.
Right.
Is that?
No. But if you
that's what we're getting.
No,
that's what
I know you're getting that, but I'm also getting
emails
people
saying that.
I am getting people saying, I'm no longer a fan. I'm switching to another team.
But you're getting
literally
those,
that's what they're saying.
No offense to those people, but those are a small percentage that actually send emails to you and all that.
Whatever.
But
are you kidding me?
I'm a man of the people. You
know. Yeah. And that's why they all wanted to strangle you in Denver.
That's why you had to hide in the VIP area.
I didn't say I'm a man of the crazies. I'm the man of normal people.
Now he's calling our fans crazy.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Fred.
Paul calls all fans stupid. So am I up below that? But I talk to people that aren't even really fans. Not like season ticket holders, just casual people. And Belichick's losing a lot of rope with a lot of those people on different areas over the last few years.
Well, look, there's always been a lot of people that couldn't stand him. Now they're coming out.
But I don't get the vibe that these are people that have the Borges-like vindictive revenge.
I don't think there were swayed one way
that are swaying back the other way.
I'm with Andy. I don't think there are a lot of Patriots fans who hate the guy.
Right.
But grin and bear it because he's our coach and he won.
Right.
I don't think there are a lot of Patriots. I think a lot of Patriots fans staunchly defend his behavior because he's our coach, but they don't hate him.
Say this very
I'm
clearly.
Talking
they
about think Bill's right about
their
everything.
Coach.
I'm talking about like the 30 to 50 year old, and no offense to you senior citizens, but you people can be as reactionary as any. The 30 to 50 years old, have a job, have a couple kids, watch the Patriots.
Are you calling 30 to 50 year old senior citizens?
No, anybody beyond that.
Oh, okay.
You'll be there in a year or two. These are people that just have lives and are casual Patriots fans. I think they swayed one way, and I think it's swaying back towards he's not as smart as he used to be. His ego gets him in trouble.
Well,
kind of
that?
All the calling cards of the critics are now becoming the calling cards of casual fans.
How is it
fans.
That he's not as smart as he used to be?
Because Pioli's gone and Weiss and McDaniels
well, then
and
he
Purnell
wasn't
are
smart
gone.
To begin with. He leaned on other people.
Exactly. That's why I'm talking perception, not necessarily reality.
Right.
He's no dumber than he used to be, unless he's not trying anymore, unless he's lost interest.
I didn't read this particular story, but are you familiar with the piece that Bill Simmons wrote on ESPN.com about 2 weeks ago, maybe? It was in the aftermath of the Colts game.
Yeah, I read it.
And his premise, I guess, was about coaches that hit the 50s, the mid-50s, late 50s.
Oh, I didn't see
that.
They
lose it.
Really?
And he has all kinds of research that he did to back it up that – even good coaches, they don't keep it for that long. You know, they go down. That might be one of those examples what you're talking about. How long can you sustain that excellence?
Right,
you know, Chuck Knoll was not winning as much as he did in the 70s when he left.
Yeah.
Tom Landry was not winning as much in the 80s as he did.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys like that. Very few guys walk away when they're at the very pinnacle. I don't know if there's anything to it, but. I'm sure that our listeners are familiar with
it. Another thing,
you
know, another thing maybe one of you guys can ask, and I don't know exactly how you would word it, but a lot of times after a loss, Bill will say, we need to coach better, you know, in addition to the playing and all that stuff. We need to coach better. Knowing the hours that he puts in and that he demands his assistance, it's hard to figure out how could you possibly – do more than you're doing now.
Well, more is not necessarily better.
That's my point. So I'd love to have somebody ask him, you know, Bill, you've always mentioned, you know, particularly after, you know, losses, you need to coach better.
I'm not asking.
Can, you know, you know, knowing the ethic that you have to the game and your assistants have, what is it that you could do better? Can you be specific about what a certain thing that maybe in a game you could have done better as a coach? You know, I'd just be interested to know what that when you say we need to coach better, what is it that you could have done better?
See, I think we need to coach better is coach speak. I don't think he thinks he needs to coach better for
That's kind of what my point is. I mean,
yeah, you know, and that's kind of how he's going to take it, and that's kind of how I'm going to get fired.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one. But
why don't you come to a press conference?
No, but maybe there is something
big cojones Kirsch
like,
over
you know,
here.
You know, we spent too much time on this. We should have spent more time on.
But I don't
something
think he'll
else.
Tell you that specific. Yeah. And it might be that specific. That's why I don't think there's anything good that comes from that question.
Right. This particular week, it might be, listen, we thought the key to this game was stopping the run.
Right.
And obviously the Miami came in and thought the key to the game was to throw the ball as often as they could.
Right.
That's an example of how you need to coach better.
Right.
And that's a good one, by the way, because that topic was brought up last week in terms of matching up your strength with an opponent's weaknesses versus matching up your weakness with their weakness and saying my weakness can beat your weakness. Because that's what happened this week. Chad Henne is not the strength of that. Ricky Williams is.
Right.
But the weakness beat the weakness because one weakness was worse.
Alex in Glasgow writes in.
Do we have a pin in Glasgow?
I've heard a lot of speculation since Sunday about what is wrong with the Patriots, and in my opinion, it is twofold. One, the offense is not fully fit. I think that is why they are slowing down later in the game. They all have annoying minor injuries and still recovering from major ones. I think that Brady is trying too hard to show that he is still the same player he was in 07 and is forcing plays because of this. And two, the defense doesn't have a winning mentality. They have picked up the players from bad teams who aren't bad and wonder why these guys don't get it done. It's because they are not accustomed to winning and feel that defeat is part of football instead of an avoidable thing. If the defense isn't made out of winners, it is a unit that will never be a winner. P.S. Love Bill, but not the coordinators. Bring back the A-team.
I love that email.
That's that second point there is very interesting.
Players that aren't that bad from bad teams. Lee Bodden, Tully Bantakane, Derek Burgess, Brandon McGowan, Sean Springs.
That's an interesting view. I hadn't really given it much thought.
Who's that? That's a great email.
Alex from Glasgow.
Yeah, the first one, I'm not sure.
The best analysis we get comes from Russia.
I'm not sure.
Well, they've had success doing just
Scotland.
That. I
mean, Scotland, wherever that is.
They brought in Corey Dillon from a bad team.
Far away.
But he was a great player.
You need him. I'm not necessarily convinced, by the way, that the offense is out of shape, and that's why they're slowing down. I do think they have some annoying injuries, as he pointed out. But
I also don't think Brady is, like, trying to prove his...
I'll say one thing that I think is, and it's not Brady's fault, it's more of a coaching thing, and I guess it goes to Bill.
O'Brien?
Belichick, not okay. O'Brien. But I think that they too infrequently line up with two tight ends and just say, we're going to run the football for a little while. I don't think they do that often enough. And I think it comes back to haunt them late in these games when they're trying to milk the clock. You know, when you're on the road and you need that first down and the other team's crowd is getting all whooped up and the defense is sitting there saying, we need to get a stop, we need to get a stop, isn't it a little easier to sort of clamp it down and get after the – you know,
and that gets to Brady taking the ball from under center instead of shotgun.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Get under center, maybe get two backs in the backfield at the same time, definitely get two tight ends in the field and just say, we're going to power up and run the ball. Or can we just not do that? Am I wrong on that? Maybe they just don't have the ability to do that.
I don't know. They have been able to.
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Andy's got a blank stare in his
eyes. Because I drifted off into space for a minute.
Last year,
do you think they run the ball enough in running situations?
Right. I would get to the bottom line. I don't think they're a good enough
team. Do they impose their will on other teams?
The Lawrence Maroney, who's your lead back, he's your starting running back. Unlike Fred, I don't think has shown anything that wants me to give him the ball more often. I don't think he's ever given you enough of a showing that he's worthy of establishing him as a legitimate aspect of the offense. And that's why the earlier email, I think the backfield will be different. It's time to end that experiment.
I don't think there's any question the backfield will be different.
But his high side isn't high enough. All those people that believe when he's going good, that little stretch in 07, when he was on
good,
the greatest offense ever and he happened to pick up some ground yards, he's not good enough at his best.
We're
never mind
considering
at his worst.
One of his good games is a game in which he averaged less than 4 yards
right.
a carry, got about 70 yards, and fumbled.
That's my point.
That's considered one of his good games.
Right. That's my point.
Everybody was
you
gaga.
You think he's having a good year, Fred. He's got 3.9 a carry.
That's a great year. Great
everybody,
year.
Everybody was gaga over him the last 3 weeks, and he hadn't. He, in my opinion, didn't have
should be
a top flight performance in any of those games.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Walt from Central Pennsylvania.
Hi,
Walt,
guys.
Thanks for holding on.
Hi, guys.
A couple
Walt. Things to tell you. For one, one is on both sides of the ball. One is the defense. I did not see letting Seymour go because I thought Seymour, by him being there, they had to devote like two guys on him because he was a good pass rusher.
I would somewhat agree with that. The decision to let him go looks a lot worse in this past month than it did in the first 2 months.
Right, and that's why they were saying we couldn't get to him and everything because Seymour was not there. That's on the defense. On the offense side, why did they let Vrabel go? How many times have you seen Vrabel come in the game as an eligible receiver and they pass the ball like close to the goal line? He got a touchdown.
Yeah.
That would have, like this past week, that would have probably fit real good into there, you know?
But you don't think Chris Baker could do that if they wanted to emphasize that role?
No, I think Vrabel really for the last, he did two or three, he had two or three touchdowns.
He had more than that. He had seven or eight.
Yeah, okay, good.
It was a bigger number, and you're right. It worked. It always seemed to work.
And Christian Fourier had seven or eight 1 year, too. I agree with Andy. I think they need to use the tight end a little bit more as a receiver in general. They threw one pass to
after
tight ends.
Last week, right?
They threw, but I'm just talking about attempting one pass in the tight end's direction
everybody
for the whole
saying,
game.
Right, they
went.
They have a zero either last week or Indy
was
zero.
They tried to get a couple to Watson, and they
well, there was,
not to win.
No, in one of the last 2 weeks, the game book listed not a single tight end.
Wow. Yeah, see, to me, that's a waste of resources.
They people say, where was Watson? Was he active or not, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. You can't force a ball to some players, like keep going and trying to go in the Moss because they got him covered. So,
yeah.
You're
right. Walt, you're right on. And I think Vrabel, by the way, his absence has been enormous on defense. I don't care if he was one-tenth the player that he was in 07 when he had 12 and a half sacks. Don't tell me he wouldn't create a little bit more pressure than they've had coming off the edge this year.
I know, even like he's right. Exactly. I agree with you. It's 100%. He was good on defense, but they also used him on offense.
Yeah, they did.
So
he was an effective guy
all
for
the way around. Why did they leave him go?
I don't
thought he was
answer.
Making too much money.
Well, hey, you got to pay somebody if you want the quality, you know?
I agree.
And that guy was quality. I've been a Patriots fan since 1960, so I'm not about to abandon them because if I'm with them that long, then I'm certainly going to stay with them through rough times too.
Right.
But I can't see some of these trades and some of these transactions because we're letting some of these good guys go.
Do you think it's a case of quantity over quality?
Yeah, possible. They're not. They're. I don't know. It could be financial too, like you say. People are not. They say, well, we've got to pay the guy too much money or whatever. But how many have you seen Indianapolis say, hey, do you want a Freeney? Did they call up Oakland and say, how about do you want to trade Freeney for a draft pick?
No, because I think Indianapolis is the opposite. When they get talent, they keep it.
Right.
That's their MO.
They let
that's
all
my,
the Jags go.
They keep Asante Samuel. They keep whoever. And, yeah, they let Tully Bantakainley.
Well,
they let anybody.
The draft, and they do it better than anyone, except for maybe the Steelers. But that's how they do it. You don't see them going after free agents as
but
much.
They've never had a fear of handing $100 million to Dwight Freeney, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne,
Peyton Manning,
any of those guys. If they want to keep them, they do.
Right.
And they say, we'll replace Mike Peterson. We'll replace, some Jag corner
Nick,
who
Nick
started
Harper,
for us. Yeah.
Jason
they replace
Davis.
All those guys. Their theory is, if you draft talent and build an elite player who works in your system, keep them.
They're the opposite of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh lets everybody go.
Right.
Denver. Indy takes the guys that they identify and they say, we can't lose this guy. We need him.
Right.
They re-sign their own quality free agents.
And everybody said it's going to catch up to him. It's going to catch up to him. You can't do that. You don't have enough talent on both sides of the ball. And every year they start the year 10-0, 11-0, 12-0. So it hasn't caught up to him yet.
Well, I think we're letting too many good guys go.
I agree.
And it's, we got to stay. I don't know if Bill has a problem where he's got too much on his plate. And he's trying to do too much or what, but somebody has to give him a hand,
Yeah. And that, we'll find out about that this offseason because he'll never tell us, But if he goes out and hires Charlie Weiss or Romeo Crennel or both, or brings in somebody in the front office, you'll get an idea that he felt he was undermanned at a certain area. Because that's what he does. If he sees a problem, he fixes it.
Yeah, and I don't know about Moss, what's going on with him, but, I mean, it might be just that he's saying, well, they can't get me the ball. What am I going to do, you know? And it seems like Welker's saying that, too, anymore. So, I don't know. It's we've got good players there, some good players, but we got to keep the ones we got and try to get more of the good ones, you know?
Yeah, it's not like it's a complete, you know, gut job here. They have to completely rebuild from the ground up. They have pieces in place, but I think they definitely need an infusion of some playmakers. And
right.
I know it's easy for us to say. I don't know how Bill goes about acquiring them, but they are two or three quality players away, probably on both sides of them. I mean, they need another receiver or two, probably a running back, and they need definitely a playmaker in that secondary and a playmaking linebacker, I think, whether it's an edge guy or what or whatever.
I was sorry to see Jabari Gaffney go. I thought he was
in retrospect, absolutely.
I wasn't, but like Borges, I am now.
Yeah, I didn't see his value as being anywhere near as high as it was, but they've missed him.
But those guys, if you go back to 07, they had some pretty good receivers there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dante Stallworth, Gaffney.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's been a big difference on that offense.
Joey Galloway screwed him.
The lack of
he didn't sign himself.
I love the way he looks at it. Bill didn't screw the Patriots right. by signing Joey Galloway. Joey Galloway screwed them.
Yeah.
No wonder why. No matter what he does, it's he's the guy.
Well, he's got the money anyway.
Yeah, it's not his money he's playing with. It's right. not his money he's wasting.
Exactly. Right. Where's he going to go after he? You know, after this Patriots?
No, I don't know.
He probably won't get picked up.
Who, Belichick?
No, I'm talking about Galloway. You know?
Oh, yeah, he's nowhere.
Done. Yeah, no one picked. He's old.
Makes the move look that much worse.
This was the last stop.
Apparently,
for him
Bill
anyway.
Was the only one who thought he had anything left in the tank.
And as far as Belichick goes, you know, who else you going to get that's got his quality? How about Mike Shanahan? Would come close, maybe, right?
I don't want him.
I don't know.
John Gruden.
Maybe.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah. You know, who you going to get, you know?
I know. Yeah. I there's no one I'd rather have.
You stay with Belichick.
That's right.
Yes, you got to.
That's right.
But he's got to have some help. He's got to have somebody calling some offensive plays.
Yeah.
Know?
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Talking to a caller, Doc gave me the stats for Richard Seymour and Vrabel this year. Now, granted, they're on bad teams, but Vrabel's got a sack and 38 tackles. And Seymour's got 4 sacks and 35 tackles.
Which is a pretty good year.
That put him second on the team, right?
Yep.
For the Patriots.
Yeah.
And my guess is he'd have a little more here.
Yeah. And I would guess that Mike Vrabel playing for the Patriots would have a lot more than 38 tackles and a sack.
Right.
And you can't overweigh, if you think it was a positive, his leadership. Now, if you think it was a negative, you can't overvalue that.
I'll say about Seymour, though, is all his sacks came early. He hasn't done anything lately. And that's what he does. When he got to Oakland, he was gangbusters. I watched a couple of those games. He was a force, and now he peters out. He's one of those guys that under his ass.
I'd like to see him petering out here. That's all I can tell you.
Vrabel could have converted the 4th-and-1s.
I'd like to have seen Richard Seymour on that defensive line here. Now, I'm not going to change my mind. I still think it was a good trade in terms of value, but I said at the time, even though I agree with the trade, it hurt you in the short term.
Sure.
And there's no doubt in my mind that this would be a better defense with Richard Seymour on it.
Peter writes in.
Speaking of Peters.
Peter, pumpkin eater.
He's from Medway. He says,
Carmichael?
I was unable to listen live while I'm at work, but I typed this up.
Doesn't do anything.
And saved it. Coordinator for the highest scoring team in the league.
I typed this up and saved it so I can email it in during the show. Nice new rules, Fred.
The emails have grown
not happy
you.
With you, Fred.
Something popped into my head while I ran down the results list from Sunday's game. The great debate is officially over. The winner, neither side.
Oh.
As of week 12, both options of the debate have proven to be like a giant Christmas present that gets you excited only to find socks and underwear when you open it. The perfect season? The Saints look like they'll be making a serious run at that just 2 seasons after the Pats almost did it. And if the Colts weren't focused on being all holier than thou, they would too. 10 more years of Brady? I'm not sure I can handle 4 more games of Brady.
Oh, God. That's excellent, by the way.
That's a great email.
They're
bringing it today. I don't know why you don't read them more, Fred, because we have good emails.
I'd be lying if I...
Well, if you let me finish it.
That that thought process has entered my mind. The fact that the Colts and the Saints are this close.
Right.
Now, let's face it. If they don't do it, especially the Colts, it's going to be more or less by choice. I mean, they're going to, you know, the Saints have one tough game. They play Dallas.
Right.
You know, and the other three teams, they're going to, they should decimate.
Funny. I'm on the other side, and I've thought, I'm going to tell you, this Brady guy's not all he's cracked
but
up
you
to be. You're losing all these games with Brady. You could lose them without him.
You could definitely look at it that way.
So now
way.
We're going to swap sides and still be debating.
But, and the thing about it that.
No, I wouldn't. I stayed.
Well, you were on a fence the whole time anyway.
I sat in the middle of that debate the whole way.
And you know, and it tells you that in this league of parity, if you can break out of that, you break out in a big way. You know, there's a clear difference between every year those teams that are good and the rest of the league.
Right.
You know?
But it would devalue it if it goes away a year
later. Sure it would. As I see it, there have been a few major miscalculations that may sink this season. Putting all our eggs in Jason Taylor's basket only to have him go back to Miami caused us to have to pick up Burgess.
Yep.
Who should be cut now and replaced with a bag of rocks with a jersey on it? Not realizing old man Galloway wasn't going to get it, and leaving a team with no number three is killing the offense. Aiken is making some plays, but at the expense of his team's duties, and that unit is now lacking because of it. And not getting a real offensive coordinator, what can I say? Belichick can't do it all. I thought we had a play that would get us a foot on the 4th-and-1 in the red zone from last week. You know why you thought that, Bill? Because it has gotten us a foot in the pass. You know why it didn't this time? Because when you have a 3rd or 4th, in one, you run that same damn play 95% of the time. You ran that same play twice in a flipping row, one give to Slow-Mo and one to Morris. Did Bill come down with Alzheimer's or something? It's like the offensive playbook has 6 plays in it. I'll cut off my rant there in an effort to get my email read, although it's probably already too long, and there are a lot of emails.
Every email has a reference to him not reading emails.
Well, that was the same guy, wasn't it?
Oh, it was?
I can't read them all, man.
That was good, though.
I agree with a lot of it. I don't agree with the offensive coordinator.
I don't
thing.
Either, only because they've already done this.
But I don't
he
even care if I've already
coordinator.
Done this. Would you rather have an inexperienced guy who you don't think is doing a good enough job or an experienced guy who's butting heads with the head coach and they're fighting it out every week because Bill wants the system that's in place to be run as it's been
right.
run for the last 8
And by the way,
10
Tom
years.
Brady is also a de facto offensive coordinator.
De facto or defective?
De facto. I don't think that.
But you know what I mean? If you bring in Mike Martz, oh, great, he's got the resume.
Yeah, you know
and then
what?
When Bill and him are arguing all the time on the sidelines over what to do, that's no more productive than the inexperienced
right.
Bill O'Brien.
But right. there's this whole thing about we don't have a real offensive coordinator. We do have a real offensive coordinator. His name is Bill O'Brien. And another thing, I don't necessarily think that we're very predictable offensively. We haven't been overly consistent, and we haven't always been effective. But don't tell me on 3rd and 8 on the first drive of the game from your own 30-yard line that a draw to Falk was a predictable call. For 9 yards and a first down, by
right.
the way.
Can I bring
the
first,
it would have been if he didn't make it.
On the first scoring drive.
It would have been.
I got to tell you, in the interest of fairness here, I turned to Andy and Mike Reese at the time. I hate that call. I hated it. I thought it was a terrible call. It worked, but I could not say it was a predictable call.
Right.
Can I bring
now,
little,
later in the game, they did it on 3rd and 6.
Can I bring some legitimate
criticism
to Bill O'Brien?
We as fans make the same mistake all the time.
What does Bill say about college offenses all the time?
Slip screens and go routes.
What is this team doing now?
Well, they don't do the screens according to the fans.
What does this team do now? Stop your rant on stupid fans and answer the question.
They go too high.
I got a blog.
They go screens,
downfield.
Short passes at the line of scrimmage, and bombs.
I got a comment.
Is there
yesterday.
Anything there that Bill O'Brien's experience comes in college and he's bringing too much of a college mentality to an NFL offense?
I don't know.
Not enough intermediate routes, not right. enough things in the
I
middle.
Got a comment yesterday. I think they had just run a screen. I forget who it was, DeFalk or Welk. I forget who. Somebody comments, first time they've run a successful screen all year. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on.
They've run a lot of successful screens this year, and they've run a lot of unsuccessful ones
right,
this
right.
year, including on 3rd and 2 the other day when
sure.
Randy Moss was given evidently the tag for the reason why that play didn't work, because he didn't make the block that's impossible to make.
Right.
And Falk got stopped short of the first down.
But as fans, we have to be careful about, you know, criticizing play calling and all that stuff. I mean, again, with the draw – It's a bad call if it doesn't work, and it's a good call if it does work.
I'm with Cam Cameron.
You know,
it's highly overrated, the play
I don't
call.
Think, my point is not necessarily that the play calling's good, bad, or indifferent. It's just I don't really think we're overly predictable.
No, we're not. I was shocked that they went long on 3rd and 4.
Right. I don't think that.
I was shocked.
I want them to be more predictable.
But now, I think that's what Brady saw, and I think he was taking what Miami
right.
was giving him.
You can't
him.
Sit there the whole fourth quarter and say, why are we taking so many shots downfield when all we need is a first down? And say, well, that's predictable. They just
right.
went deep downfield.
Right.
I don't think those two things mesh.
Right.
Now, I think if you want to criticize the plan, I would tend to agree with you. I don't think that they've done a really good job of mixing up the plays. I just don't think it's been predictable. That's
but they've
all.
And they've never been, you know, how he described Sean Payton or Mike Martz. They've never been. They have 6,000 plays and they never run the same play. I mean, we've seen it enough over the years between practice and the game field that we know that they're what their basics are. Certain formations and certain plays run out of those formations. They're not as dynamic as some of those.
Yeah.
Never repeat it. Rip the page out after you run an offense. They're in the middle somewhere.
Paulie in L.A. says at the beginning of the year, one of you, I think Paul said.
If
we had the horses and we don't have the horses, I feel like we are as strong as our weakest link right now. Personally, I think it's a non-existent pass rush and a lack of third or fourth receiver. And tight end options.
I don't know. Offensive halfback?
I guess.
That's how they list him at the combine, I think.
What position?
Just right. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Well, it's capital O, capital H, so he confused me.
Oh.
What positions do you feel, if we're up to par, would make the biggest difference?
Pass rush. Edge rusher. That's what I believe is the biggest need on this team right now.
Okay.
Because I may have my blinders on. I still kind of think there's some talent in that secondary that's just not playing well, not being helped out, whatever it is. I don't think there's any talent on pass rush. Burgess stinks. Tully Bantakane, who I like as much as any player in that locker room, is not capable of being your best pass rusher if you're going to be a good defense and a winning football team.
I think I would agree with Andy. I think that the secondary, unlike last year, I don't think any amount of rush could have helped last year. This year, I think that these guys are being made to look a little bit worse than they are by the fact that they don't get any heat.
Right.
Hey, Fred, Paul, and Eric. No, Andy.
Suck it. Who's this?
Kevin.
Quebec.
One quick question. I know there's been a lot of talk about the Pats losing two in a row, but when was the last time we lost three out of four? I'm getting really concerned that we might not make the playoffs. These are four winnable games, but so were four of our five losses. Let me know what you think. Great job.
2005, San Diego, Miami, and somebody else.
We lost three out of four then?
Three in a row, I believe. 2005.
No. 2002 is the last time I remember losing three in a row.
When the 21-game winning streak ended, they didn't win three in a row? I mean, lose three in a row?
No.
After that Chargers loss to Drew Brees?
No. Uh-oh. They won the next game at Atlanta. And that was the win-loss, 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 win-loss.
That was your roller coaster.
They were 4-4. 0-2, they won the first three and lost four in a row.
Oh, that was the San Diego loss.
San Diego was the first loss,
and then
yes.
They lost to Miami, too.
But they also, in 05, the San Diego loss snapped the winning streak.
Yeah, I'm confusing two different notes.
But, yeah, they were 4-4 after eight games that year. They won loss, one loss, one loss, one loss. Then they finally started winning games. But in 0-2, they beat Pittsburgh, the Jets, and Kansas City to start the year to go 3-0. Then they lost to San Diego, Miami, Green Bay, and Denver to go 3-4. So
that's the stretch, I thought.
That's the last time they've lost three out of four. They actually lost four in a row.
Mike and Charlotte, put all the offensive questions aside, all the fourth down issues aside, what is the main issue on this team? Defense. No pass rush, bad secondary play, which go hand in hand. And as the game goes on, the pass rush and the overall defense gets worse and worse. This is why they are losing these games in the second half. The fact that the offense goes three and out doesn't help either. One thing I don't understand is the lack of adjustments in the second half. The Patriots have always been one of the best teams in the league at making adjustments at halftime and finishing games. Is this due to all the coaching changes that took place, or is it because the current players are just not as good as we all had hoped?
They're not as good as we all had hoped.
So they're certainly not pinning their ears back in the second half and finishing out games. I mean,
I think
they're not as good as we all hoped.
I think it's more offensively to me. I think the defense is playing okay in terms of their expectations. And, you know, like the previous emailer said, I just didn't think they had the horses on defense. I didn't.
If the offense was what we thought it was going to be, we wouldn't even be we'd be so happy with the defense right now.
Yeah, I think if you added 10 points on both sides and it was, you know, 34-33 and, you know, scores like that, then I would say I might say differently, but you know, 22-21.
Yeah.
So then you believe the biggest weakness is something on offense. The third receiver or the running backs or what?
Just the production. I mean, whatever you want to pin it down to.
Wes Welker leads the league in catches. Randy Moss leads the league in yards. Well, I guess Tom Brady has a rating
zone,
of 100.
Red zone, you know, finishing off drives.
Yeah, see, I would say
a third receiver. Although, a third option.
Or the tight end.
But all the statistical stuff.
When I say third receiver, I mean a third option.
Third option, yeah.
The statistical stuff is great, but that's never been what this team has been about. So it's great that they have Wes Welker leading the league in receptions and Randy Moss in yards, but they're not. It's not translating. They're not scoring.
No, I know, but why? That means you have a weakness elsewhere somewhere.
The biggest weakness
finishing
on offense?
Off drives.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you could make
so you think it's an inability of the players here?
But that's, yeah.
Yeah,
see, I think you're both
well,
right.
Well, I'm asking,
you're
is it something
right.
you fix through a personnel move that if you had that third option, you'd be good? Or is it the guys that are here aren't good enough in that area?
I'm going to say it's right now the play of the offensive line.
Okay.
He button hooked me because I thought, you were saying something that I thought Andy was right on. They're not finishing drives because they don't have enough options to go to. When you get down there, it becomes a little easier to take away right. Welker and
two
Moss.
Guys.
Yeah, I just think it's the play of the offensive line.
It's the offensive
and then he button hooked me. So, and I can't really argue with you. I think the offensive line is average.
Somewhere Dan Copen sitting at his computer saying, hey.
I thought that was for 5 years now. I think that's not a bad offensive line, but it's not as good as
isn't
it's
that kind of like the defense?
For. Defensively, you
no.
Nail,
I mean,
you
the
nail
offensive
it on
line is
the
like the
rush.
Defense in that they are what they are.
They're good enough,
they underperforming to that level where they're hindering Hall of Famers like Brady and Moss? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, look at what
they're that bad.
Look
they're
at
okay.
what being
I don't
able
think
to get.
That bad.
Look at what
I don't either. I think they are what they are. I expect them to give up pressures at times, get beat on in the running game at times, be good at other times.
But look at what being able to get just 18 inches. What a difference that would make in that game. You know. What a difference that would have made in that game to run behind Matt Light and Logan Mankins and Dan Copen and be able to get eight. And they
is that their fault?
Or
this
thing
is that
a
what
whopping
they're...
16 inches.
It grew. It's bigger now. It's the XL.
Well, the
is that
is...
their fault? I mean, that you ask them to do it once every 752 plays and expect them
no,
to be
don't.
This power-running offensive line?
No, I think they've been doing more than that. I really do. I mean,
well, pretty much all the other runs that they've had on short yardage, certainly since they went for that fourth down from deep in their own end against Atlanta, they've converted.
Right.
It's when they throw the ball that sometimes they don't convert.
No.
But
I think you're mixed messages up there.
Pressure on Brady.
You have these small, undersized offensive linemen, and then all of a sudden you blame them when you don't get fourth and one.
Now, I'll say this. I thought New Orleans had a boatload of pressure on Brady with three and four guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Miami had a boatload of pressure on the other day. But then they didn't blitz at all either.
You said, I told you Jason Taylor's overrated.
And I'm right. They went three or four guys again.
Put in the coffin.
But I will say this for Miami is I thought that they did a good job of getting pressure in times where they absolutely had to have some pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't consistent throughout the game, but I thought in the fourth quarter they were around him a little bit and made him a little bit more uncomfortable.
Wake made some waves.
Jim from Texas on the line. Jim, how you doing?
Guys, it's been a while. How y'all doing in this somber day in New Englandville?
It's a tough one.
Well, I mean, here's my take on the game, and forgive me for not calling after we lost to the Saints, but in four of the five games we've lost, in all but one of the games we've lost, we've had leads in the fourth quarter, I want to thank, or leads certainly in the second half, and it seems like the adjustments that we have been made at halftime are less effective than what other of those coaches have done, including Rex Ryan. When they need to get a third down, they don't get it. When they need a stop on defense, they don't get it. I don't think it's the offensive line. I don't think it's a third wide receiver. I think it's a combination of many things. The secondary was poor, and the pass rush was absent in last week's game. I think that hurt them, and I agree with the previous caller's statement that as the game wore on, it seemed like we got even less pressure on them. I was almost surprised if we got any pressure using four people, and then I started thinking, how much better would we be if we had kept Richard Seymour? Would we have won two of those five games? Because Richard Seymour would have made a difference in the New Orleans game, but he might have made a difference last Sunday.
Yep.
What do y'all think?
Yeah, I agree. I think last week is a game that I would say that Richard Seymour might have affected. And Indy's
one,
a game.
One play. You need one sack.
Indy's
one
a game I think he might have affected. Now, certainly you can't make that argument in New Orleans. I mean,
No.
You were embarrassed. The Jets game.
New York.
The Jets game, they didn't have a lead in the fourth quarter. Matter of fact, how about that?
They were leading at halftime, though, Paul.
Yeah, they had the lead at half, and then the first drive of the second half, I think it was three plays. touchdown, and they were never.
I'd certainly argue Richard Seymour
never
could have
trailing
affected,
again. Could have affected
the bulk
that game.
Of the games.
Seymour could have affected that game, no doubt.
Well, what I'm saying is this, though, is like they have with what they have right now, it just seems like the only time they get pressure is when they send five or six, and
they're doing it a lot, by the way, and still not getting pressure,
and they're still not getting there.
That's
which
faded.
Is most.
There was
most
a play
troubling.
They showed on, I think it was on NFL Network yesterday, where they sent. They sent a couple of guys. I forget the individual secondary guys, but they were defensive backs that got sent. And there was about six guys that came up, and when they just showed one-on-one battles. One guy locked up on another one. One guy, and it was amazing how ineffective the pressure was. The rush, I mean, the individual rushing tech. It was like training camp, Andy, when we watched the one-on-one blitz pickup drills with the different positions, tight ends against outside linebackers, mm-hmm. running backs against the inside linebackers, just getting stoned one after another. And, you know, that puts you in a precarious spot when you're sending pressure, and not only you don't get there for the sack, you're not even getting the ball out early.
Right.
You're not even forcing
right.
the ball out
there,
early.
He's diagnosing what you got, and he's got man coverage to the outside, and that's bad. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, what is the easy answer to this? Well, we got four games left. This team is what it is, as Bill would say, and I tell you this, on the touchdown to Aiken, I said this when I watched him throw that ball. That guy was all over Aiken. He just made a great play, but that's a ball, does Brady really, should he really thrown that ball?
And, no.
Which goes back to that pickoff in the end zone. I mean, Brady gets picked off twice in the red zone, and they didn't go for it. They went for it and didn't get it at the end of the half. Here's things that the Patriots did this year that I have not seen them do since Belichick's been there. They don't score in the last 2 minutes of the game and let the in the half and let the other teams score with less than 2 minutes remaining. That has been a hallmark of the past for years. They do a lot of little things that you don't really notice, but them not scoring and letting the other team score with 2 minutes to play, that to me was a huge swing.
You're right.
6-point
I agree.
Swing.
And that has been a major problem, especially lately.
And also on third down, we don't convert third downs, it seems like. When it's third and five, it just seems like, I don't know, especially the games we're on, people aren't getting open. We've not played well on offense in the second half either. It's not just the defense. Because think of it this way. Falk gets, like I said, 18 more inches, they win that game easily. But you also knew that they went for it because that defense had not stopped Manning at all. He had had three drives of over 80 yards in under 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no reason to think that, well, gee, you know, we only got 2.5 minutes. We can stop him now. That's why he went for it on fourth and at his own 29. He didn't think they could stop him. And there was some evidence to support that during that game. So I know, guys. It's heartening, but, you know, we'll get back to winning this week. And how are you guys doing? How's your weather up there?
Cold.
Pretty lousy.
It's getting cold.
A little leftover ice and snow.
Had some snow over the weekend. It's getting cold.
I went for a jog this morning in a T-shirt and shorts.
Nah,
so.
Screw you.
Yeah, all okay, right. Guys. Number 11.
Hey, we've been talking a lot about the second half. I don't know if you noticed, Fred, in going over the stats. Patriots, who I believe are plus 105 on the year point differential, in the second half have allowed the exact same number of points in both the third and fourth quarters as they've scored.
Wow.
It's 53, I believe, in the third, yeah. Scored and allowed, 55 in the fourth, scored and allowed. And obviously, so that means their whole differential comes in the first half.
It's
right?
Really in the first quarter,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
Look, there's a huge difference in the first quarter.
That's
and
incredible.
The second, because they had that one five-touchdown quarter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank from Stuttgart, Germany says, relax.
Is that Russia?
It's better than being no, he said Germany. It's better than being a Steelers
right
fan. Advice for anyone who's desperate, take 45 minutes of your time and watch the fourth quarter of the Steelers-Raiders game.
No thanks, I got knocked
better.
Out a knockout on that.
You will feel better after that, guaranteed.
Paul, what are these two bad teams that are suddenly winning games have in common? They put in Andy's favorite quarterbacks that weren't starting. Bruce Gradkowski and Vince Young. Just winners, baby.
All right,
winners.
Well, we got to wrap it up because we got to get over to Neckin and film our show. I guess they're in a hurry to get it done early.
Why don't you say what you said upstairs?
But we have a problem because John Rook is not to be found.
Yeah, John was supposed to be in for an abbreviated show, and we were going to fill with conference calls in the last half hour. But John's traveling with the Providence College basketball team
for a
tour of the White House, and their flight got moved up earlier.
Why is Providence College going to the White House?
But you had to win something to get there.
They were just invited. I guess.
I assume they're playing someone down. Are they playing Georgetown?
I thought to get a team invited to the White House, you had to win a title. They haven't won anything.
They beat Northeastern, but
that's so winning. That's equal to winning nothing.
So that's what's going to happen.
So we're going to do a little replay of Patriots Monday from yesterday, and we'll do a replay of this show following.
Why don't you just read emails?
It wasn't that good.
I don't have the expert analysis that you guys do, and you guys have a show to do.
But you can read emails, take calls, and have people comment on the emails.
And I'll listen later, and boy, will I laugh.
Yeah, I say you keep it live.
Can't
you keep it live?
I'm probably not the best person to read emails and offer analysis if we get
callers.
I didn't
say offer analysis. I said just read the emails and let people
comment on other emails.
Yeah. Call in.
Freddie, does the fact that the Steelers stink too make you feel better?
Yes.
Doesn't make me feel any better.
It does a little bit. I always like when other people don't do well.
Oh, okay.
That, ladies and gentlemen, sums up Fred
Kirsch. If I don't win, I don't really care who wins.
Misery loves company.
Ooh, and you're in misery right now?
Yeah, a little bit, sure.
I thought they were about to hit on a four-game winning
streak. We are, and it's going to make me feel better, but until it happens, I'm in
misery.
Until
it happens. Not so sure, huh?
All right.
Just give us the damn trophy. Used to be the call.
We got to get going.
I hope we can
win
four.
You're in the capable hands of Doc, whatever he decides to do. And if you don't like what he does, you know where to complain. All right, goodbye.